ಪರಿಭ್ರಾಜಕಾಚಾರ್ಯ ಅಷ್ಟೋತ್ತರ ಸದಶ್ರೀ ಶ್ರೀಮಾನ್ ಅಭಯ ಚರಣಾರವಿಂದ ಭಕ್ತಿ ವೇದಾಂತ ಗೋಸ್ವಾಮಿ ಹರ ಶೀಲ ಪ್ರಭುಪಾದಿಕಿ ಜಯಂ ನೆತ್ತಲೀಲಾ ಪ್ರವಿಷ್ಟ ವಿಷ್ಣುಪಾದ ಪರಮಹಂಸ ಪರಿಭ್ರಾಜಕಾಚಾರ್ಯ ಅಷ್ಟೋತ್ತರ ಸದಸ್ಯ ಶ್ರೀಮನ್ ಭಕ್ತ ಸಿದ್ಧಾಂತ ಸರಸ್ವತಿ ಮಹಾರಾಜ ಶೀಲ ಪ್ರಭುಪಾದಿಕಿ ಆನಂದ ಕೋಡಿ ವೈಷ್ಣವ ವೃಂದಗಿ ದಾಮಾಚಾರ್ಯ ಶ್ರೀ ಹರಿದಾಸ್ ಠಾಕೂರ್ ಕಿ ಪ್ರಯಂ ಸಹೋ ಶ್ರೀಕೃಷ್ಣ ಚೈತನ್ಯ ಪ್ರಭು ನಿತ್ಯಾನಂದ ಶ್ರೀ ಅದ್ವೈತ ಗದಾಧಾರ ಶ್ರೀವಾಸಾದಿ ಗೌರ ಭಕ್ತ ವೃಂದಗಿ ಶ್ರೀ ಶ್ರೀ ರಾಧಾಕೃಷ್ಣ ಗೋವ ಗೋವಿನಾದ ಶ್ಯಾಮಗುಂಡ ರಾಧಾಗುಂಡ ಗಿರಿ ಗೋವರ್ಧಾನಿಗೆ ವೃಂದಾವನ ಧಾಮಕಿ ಮಾಯಾಪುರ ಧಾಮಕಿ ಮಧುರಪುರಿ ಧಾಮಕಿ ಜಗನ್ನಾಥಪುರಿ ಧಾಮಕಿ ದ್ವಾರಕಾಪುರಿ ಧಾಮಕಿ ಗಂಗಮಾಯಿಕಿ ಯಮುನಮಾಯಿಕಿ ತುಳಸಿದೇವಿಗೆ ಭಕ್ತಿದೇವಿಗೆ ಸಾಮವೇದ ಭಕ್ತ ವೃಂದಕ್ಕೆ ಗೌರ್ ಪ್ರೇಮನಂದ ಆಲ್ ಗ್ಲೋರಿಸ್ ಟು ಅಸೆಂಬಲ್ ಡಿವೋಟೀಸ್ ಆಲ್ ಗ್ಲೋರಿಸ್ ಟು ಅಸೆಂಬಲ್ ಡಿವೋಟೀಸ್ ಆಲ್ ಗ್ಲೋರಿಸ್ ಟು ಅಸೆಂಬಲ್ ಡಿವೋಟೀಸ್ ಆಲ್ ಗ್ಲೋರಿಸ್ ಆಲ್ ಗ್ಲೋರಿ ಶ್ರೀ ಶ್ರೀ ಗುರು ಎನ್ ಗೌರಂಗ ಆಲ್ ಗ್ಲೋರಿ ಶಿಲ ಪ್ರಭುಪಾದ ನಮೋ ವಿಷ್ಣುಪದಾಯ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಪ್ರಸಾದ ಬೋಧಲೇಶ್ವರಿ ಭಕ್ತಿ ವೇದಾಂತ ಸ್ವಾಮಿನಿ ದಿನಾಮಿನಿ ನಮಸ್ತೆ ಸರಸ್ವತಿ ದೇವಿ ಗೌರವಾಣಿ ಪ್ರಜಾರಿಣಿ ನಿರ್ವಿಶೇಷ ಶೂನ್ಯವಾದಿ ಪಾಶ್ಚಾತ್ಯ ದೇಶತಾರಿಣಿ ವಾಸುದೇವಾಯ ಓಂ ನಮೋ ಭಗವತೆ ವಾಸುದೇವಾಯ ಓಂ ನಮೋ ಭಗವತೆ ವಾಸುದೇವಾಯ ಓಂ ಅಜ್ಞಾನತಿಮಿರಾಂಧಸ್ಯ ಜ್ಞಾನಾಂಜನಶಲಾಕಯ ತಸ್ಮೈ ಶ್ರೀಗುರವೇ ನಮಃ ಶ್ರೀ ಚೈತನ್ಯ ಮನೋಭೀಷ್ಟಂ ಸ್ಥಾಪಿತಾಂ ಯೇನ ಭೂತಲೆ ಸ್ವಯಂ ರೂಪ ಗದಾ ಮಹ್ಯಂ ದದಾತಿ ಸ್ವಪದಾಂಬಿಕಂ ವಂದೇಹಂ ಶ್ರೀ ಗುರು ಶ್ರೀಯುತಾಪದಕಮಲಂ ಶ್ರೀ ಗುರುಂ ವೈಷ್ಣವಾಂಶ್ಚ ಶ್ರೀರೂಪಂ ಸಾಗ್ರಜಾತಂ ಸಹಗಣ ರಘುನಾಥಾನ್ವಿತಂ ತಂ ಸಜೀವಂ ಸದ್ವೈತಂ ಸಾವಧೂತಂ ಪರಿಜನಾ ಸಹಿತಂ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಚೈತನ್ಯ ದೇವಂ ಶ್ರೀರಾಧಾ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಪದಾಂ ಸಹಗಣ ಲಲಿತಾಂ ಶ್ರೀ ವಿಶಾಖಾನ್ವಿತಾಂಶ್ಚ ನಮಃ ಓಂ ವಿಷ್ಣು ಪದಾಯ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಪ್ರಸ್ಥಾಯ ಭೂತಲೆ ಶ್ರೀಮದಿ ಭಕ್ತಿ ವೇದಾಂತ ಸ್ವಾಮಿನಿಧಿ ನಾಮಿನಿ ನಮಸ್ತೆ ಸರಸ್ವತಿ ದೇವಿ ಗೌರವಾಣಿ ಪ್ರಜಾರಿಣಿ ನಿರ್ವಿಶೇಷ ಶೂನ್ಯವಾದಿ ಪಾಶ್ಚಾತ್ಯ ದೇಶಧಾರಿಣಿ ನಮಃ ಓಂ ವಿಷ್ಣುಪದಾಯ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಪ್ರಸ್ಥಾಯ ಭೂತಲೆ ಶ್ರೀಮದಿ ಭಕ್ತ ಸಿದ್ಧಾಂತ ಸರಸ್ವತಿ ದಿನಾಮಿನಿ ಶ್ರೀ ವರ್ಷಭಾನುವಿ ದೇವಿ ದೈತಾಯ ಕೃಪಾಬ್ಧಯೇ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಸಂಬಂಧ ವಿಜ್ಞಾನಂ ದಾಯಿನೇ ಪ್ರಭವೇ ನಮಃ ಮಾಧುರ್ಯೋಜ್ವಲ ಪ್ರೇಮಾದ್ಯ ಶ್ರೀರೂಪಾನುಗ ಭಕ್ತಿರ ಶ್ರೀ ಗೌರಕರುಣಾಶಕ್ತಿ ವಿಗ್ರಹಾಯ ನಮೋಸ್ತುತೆ ನಮಸ್ತೆ ಗೌರವಾಣಿ ಶ್ರೀಮೂರ್ತಯೇ ದೀನಧಾರಿಣೆ ರೂಪಾನುಗ ವಿರುದ್ಧಾವ ಸಿದ್ಧಾಂತ ದ್ವಂದ್ವಹಾರಿಣಿ ನಮೋ ಗೌರಕಿಶೋರಾಯ ಸಾಕ್ಷಾತ್ ವೈರಾಗ್ಯಮೂರ್ತಯೇ ವಿಪ್ರಲಂಬರ ಸಾಂಬೋಧೇ ಪದಾಂಬುಜಾಯದೇ ನಮಃ ನಮೋ ಭಕ್ತಿ ವಿನೋದಾಯ ಸಚ್ಚಿದಾನಂದ ನಾಮಿನೇ ಗೌರ ಶಕ್ತಿ ಸ್ವರೂಪಾಯ ರೂಪನು ಗೌರಾಯದೇ ಗೌರಾವರ್ಭೂಮೇ ಸ್ವಂ ನಿರ್ದೇಷ್ಟ ಸಜ್ಜನ ಪ್ರಿಯ ವೈಷ್ಣವ ಸಾರ್ವಭೌಮ ಶ್ರೀ ಜಗನ್ನಾಥಾಯ ತೇ ನಮಃ ವಂಶಕಲ್ಪದರುಭ್ಯಶ್ಚ ಕೃಪಾ ಸಿಂಧುಭ್ಯೇವ ಚ ಪತಿತಾನಾಂ ಪಾವನೇಭ್ಯೋ ವೈಷ್ಣವೇಭ್ಯೋ ನಮೋ ನಮಃ ನಮೋ ಮಹಾವದನ್ಯಾಯ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಪ್ರೇಮ ಪ್ರದಾಯ ದೇ ಕೃಷ್ಣಾಯ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಚೈತನ್ಯ ನಾಮ್ನಿ ಗೌರತ್ವಿಷೀ ನಮಃ ಪಂಚತತ್ವಾತ್ಮಕಂ ಕೃಷ್ಣಂ ಭಕ್ತರೂಪಸ್ವರೂಪಕಂ ಭಕ್ತಾವತಾರಂ ಭಕ್ತಾಖ್ಯಂ ನಮಾಮಿ ಭಕ್ತಶಕ್ತಿಯಂ ಹೇ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಕರುಣಾ ಸಿಂಧು ದೀನಬಂಧೋ ಜಗಲ್ಪದೆ ಗೋಪೇಶ ಗೋಪಿಯಾ ಕಾಂದ ರಾಧಾ ಕಾಂದ ನಮೋಸ್ತುತೇ ಸುರದೋಭಂಗೋರ್ಮಮಂದಮದೇ ಅಗ್ರಿ ಮತ್ಸರ್ವಸ್ವದಾಂಬೋಜೌ ರಾಧಾ ಮದನ ಮೋಹನೌ ದಿವ್ಯಾ ವೃಂದಾರಣ್ಯ ಕಲ್ಪದ್ರುಮಾಲ ಶ್ರೀಮಂತ್ ರತ್ನಾಕರ ಸಿಂಹಾಸನಸ್ಥೌ ಶ್ರೀಮದ್ ರಾಧಾ ಶೀಲ ಗೋವಿಂದ ದೇವೋ ಪ್ರಷ್ಟಾಳಿ ಮೇ ಸೇವ್ಯಮಾನೌ ಸ್ಮರಾಮಿ ಶ್ರೀಮನ್ರಾಸರ ಸಾರಂಭೀವಂ ಶೀವಟ ತಡಸ್ಥಿತ ತೃಷನ್ ವೇಣು ಸ್ವನೇರ್ ಗೋಭೀರ್ ಗೋವಿನಾಥ ಶ್ರೀಯೇಸ್ತುನ तप्तगाञ्जन गौरङ्गी राधे वृन्दावनेश्वरी वृषभानुसुते देवि प्रणमामि हरि प्रिये जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधार श्रीवासादि गौर भक्त वृन्द हरे कृष्ण कृष्ण हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे सो लास्ट संडे वी वर टॉकिंग अबाउट द ग्लोरीज ऑफ भागवतम एज डिस्कस्ड इन द पद्मपुराणम एज यू हैव सीन द सिक्स चैप्टर्स इन द पद्मपुराणम टॉक्स अबाउट द ग्लोरीज ऑफ श्रीमद् भागवतम एंड we have seen that story in relationship with the Dunduhari and Gokarna, famous story in the Padmapuranam. And there we have seen how Dunduhari became very offensive to Srimad Bhagavatam as well as to the devotees. And what has happened was that in the Bhagavatam, if you look, you will find in the Puranam of the Bhagavatam, it mentions there. The Brahmana who went to the forest asking for a son from the sannyasi, he says to him, Putradi sukhahinoyam sanyasam shushkamevahi grahastha saraso loke putra pautra samanyudaha. The householder Brahmana is saying to the sannyasi Brahmana that what without children, what kind of life is that? Sanyasam shushkamevahi grahastha saraso loke putra pautra samanyudaha. Living with children and grandchildren in the household of life is the greatest happiness. Satyam shaucham daya danam ega bhaktam tu bhojanam varshavadi sriyagarim tena putrodi nirmala eva muktva eva yogi viprastu grihama agada patnya pano bhalam datva swayam yadastu katrachil. So, out of this persistence from this householder Brahmana, the sannyasi gave him a fruit which he took home, gave it to his wife to have it. But because she didn't want to have the children, she gave half of it to her sister, who wanted to have some money because she was poor. And this Brahmana was wealthy. So they had an agreement between our Brahmana's wife and the wife's sister. And part of the fruit was given to the cow, and a son was born from that called Gokarna. And Gokarnam and Dunduhari, who was born from the sister, they were living at that house, and it was then that the Brahmana saw the habit, nature of the child, Dunduhari, and he left home and went away to the forest, executed spiritual life, and he went back to the spiritual world. Well, Puranam says like that. So, Shanmasiyo Mrudo Bala Idi Logo Vadishari Tam Balam Poshishyami Ityam Agatyade Griha. It is in that process we saw how Dunduhari has become a Brahmarakshasa, what we discussed last Sunday also. Brahmarakshasa means that a Brahmana who has trained in the Vedam, but due to sinful activities has developed the habits of Rakshasa. So when Brahmana becomes a Rakshasa, he becomes a Brahmarakshasa. So, this Brahmarakshasa also frightens those who have no spiritual life, those who have no spiritual life. And you can see there that once you are engaged in the Krishna service, or if you are engaged in spiritual activities, the fear goes away. fear goes away from all these issues. Like we have here, Dunduwari has become a Brahmarakshasa and he was giving trouble to many, many people in the village. But Gokarna was not frightened about it because Gokarna has been engaged in spiritual life. Therefore, it did not bother him. So, how can there be fear in the heart of a devotee who is serving Krishna? There is no question of fear. And we feel that there is a possibility of fear, but actually because we don't engage in bhakti. That is why it is. So, there was a Brahmana who had chanted his Gayatri every day, 1,000 times. That's called Gayatri Upasana. So he executed Sahasravarti, they call it. Sahasravarti means 1,000 times chanting Gayatri every day. 1,000 times. So, once he was walking through a street, suddenly he had to encounter with a Brahmarakshasa. And it was that time they met with each other. Brahmarakshasa is asking this Brahmana, "Who are you?" Brahmana says to the Brahmarakshasa, "If you are frightened about me, that you should not come alone in the night." Because Brahmana's strength was coming from his spiritual activities. Brahmarakshasa had to accept that body due to sinful activities. So, a dead Brahmana scholar of higher birth who has done evil things in the life or misused his knowledge has to become a Brahmarakshasa again after his death. This is the law. So, even though he becomes a Rakshasa, he will still retain his level of learning. But he has the problem that in the Brahmarakshasa body, he will eat human beings. He will eat human beings, practically like the Rakshasa. So, Gokarna was not frightened seeing Dundukari in the Brahmarakshasa level. Dundukari says to him, "I am your younger brother. And I have done several sinful activities and I am in this situation now where I am. I am in this situation of a Brahmarakshasa," he says to him. So, you have to always remember that if we are suffering in this life, it's purely due to our sinful activities. That is always an important principle. In Srimad Bhagavatam, you will see at the very end, the reason for suffering, Nama Sangirtanam Yasya Sarva Bhava Pranashanam Pranamo Dukkha Shamanam Tam Namami Harim Param. Dukkha Shamanam, Dukham or distress is coming from sinful reactions. So, that is why Nama Sangirtanam, chanting the holy name of Krishna, Sarva Bhava Pranashanam, it says. Nama Sangirtanam Yasya Sarva Bhava Pranashanam, to chant the holy name to destroy the sinful reactions. Pranamo Dukkha Shamanam, and the result of all that, distress will go away. Tam Namami Harim Param. Bhagavatam finishes with that. So, our Dundukari also, he has conducted several sinful activities and now he has caught into this Brahmarakshasa body and he is unable to free himself from that. He is requesting Gokarna to help him, to free him from that state. So, Gokarna went and asked many people, "What should we do to get him out of that situation, to get Dundukari out of that situation?" If, because he has conducted such heavy sinful activities, and how can he be released from the state of Brahmarakshasa? Gokarna conducted very powerful austerities and penances, and due to his power of penances, he managed to hold the sun planet, the sun god, and asked the sun god, "What should I do to give a salvation to this person, my brother Dundukari, who is in this state?" The sun says to him that, you will see that in that verse also, in the fifth chapter, the sun's request to him. Sun says to him that, ശ്രീമൽ ഭാഗവതാ മുക്തി സപ്താഹം വാചനം കുരു ഇതി സൂര്യവചസർവൈർ ധർമ്മരൂപം തു വിശ്രുതം. ശ്രീമൽ ഭാഗവതം, ടേക് ശ്രീമൽ ഭാഗവതം ആൻഡ് റീഡ് ഫോർ സെവൻ ഡേയ്സ്. സപ്താഹം വാചനം കുരു ഇതി സൂര്യവചസർവൈർ ധർമ്മരൂപം തു വിശ്രുതം. ദിസ് വാസ് ദി റെക്കമെൻഡേഷൻ ഫ്രം ദി സൺ ഗോഡ് to Gokarna. So Gokarna has tried various methods to free him. Even he recited Bhagavad Gita and still it did not have any effect. He was still in that difficult situation. So that is why he says here, so Sun God told Gokarna that there is no sinful activity which cannot be taken away by reading Srimad Bhagavatam, and it will be highly auspicious, and therefore it is still a system that in many families, even today, that reading Srimad Bhagavatam at least once a year, complete Srimad Bhagavatam once a year, over a period of 7 days or 9 days, it's usually done at home. So, and mainly because in household life there is possibility that several sinful activities may happen knowingly or unknowingly. Here, generally in the past, when there were sinful reactions, they had the process by which they could invoke the sinful activities from a person and move it into another form and take it into another body. There are various options like that in the Vedic tradition. But here, there is nothing like that. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, what you find there is that the only resolve they had was this Dundugari has become to this ghostly form, in the Brahmarakshas, in the ghostly body. And Gokarna thought that only for his liberation, I am going to read Srimad Bhagavatam. And where was Dundugari when Gokarna was reading Srimad Bhagavatam? Dundugari sat on a bamboo pole. The bamboo pole has different rings. You will see a different over a certain gap between, say, 12 or 14 inches between. There is a ring around the bamboo pole. So he sat in that bamboo pole inside in the subtle body. And so, for Gokarna's Saptaham, or when he was reading Srimad Bhagavatam, they had put a marquee there, and all the poles were made of bamboos, and that's where he sat, because inside the bamboo it is hollow. And there is a hole at the bottom of that, and he got through that into that bamboo pole. And on the seventh day, after hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, he lost that ghostly body of Brahmarakshasa, and he has taken exactly like the form of four-handed form of Vishnu, with conchal disc, lotus flower and the club in the hand, and with a yellow garment, he came over and paid his obeisances to Gokarna there. While Gokarna was watching this whole scene, he got into the plane and left in the back to the spiritual world, to Vaikuntha planet. And you may think that these are all some stories made up. There is possibility people will think, because how could such a thing happen from a Bhagavatam Saptaham? Bhagavatam's potential is unknown to us. We don't know what Bhagavatam is capable of. So amazing things have happened with Srimad Bhagavatam. That there was a great devotee who, while living in this world, where he had, in olden days, he had not much opportunity to go to the temples which were far away, stayed at home in his kitchen and the dining room. That room, he sat there and read the Srimad Bhagavatam. In one occasion, while he was reading Srimad Bhagavatam, there were two trees which were standing outside. And one night, he was sleeping. This devotee was sleeping. Two people appeared to him in the dream. He was sleeping, but he was not waking up. In the dream, he is seeing this. The night before that, while he was reading Srimad Bhagavatam, there were these two trees with the heavy rain and thunder and lightning. The two trees fell off. This devotee has noticed that, and when he slept the next day, that he could see that these two personalities who were standing there as the trees, who were hearing Srimad Bhagavatam regularly, appeared in the dream to this devotee and says to him that, "Do you recognize us?" The devotee said, "I don't." They said to him that, "We were the two trees who were standing outside. While hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, and when the lightning and the thunder and heavy rain happened, we fell off. But because we left the body while hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, we have got this body now from Vaikuntham planet. We have come here to thank you for your making us to hear Srimad Bhagavatam." We have lost that body, which was a tree body, tree's body. And when we heard Srimad Bhagavatam, the sinful reactions have gone away from us, what we have committed before, and we have come to the Vaikuntha planet, he says to him. So there are so many interesting incidents like this mentioned about the Srimad Bhagavatam. What we have to remember is, human life in this world is not easy. It's always misery associated with. Nobody knows what will happen the next day, isn't it? And we can see here that our so-called advancement in science, technology and all these things, it's only coming back to us and destroying us in one form or the other. We may say that people are suffering for want of food or clothing. But food and clothing is not the only problem here. There are various kinds of miseries, and what we to maintain a peaceful life in this world is the purpose of this life is to live peacefully, whereby one could execute spiritual life and get oneself released from this material existence. And Srimad Bhagavatam, promise from the Bhagavatam and from the devotees, is that Bhagavatam is capable of giving that opportunity, and the strength of Bhagavatam is unknown to us. So to get some serious interest in the Bhagavatam is a bit difficult in the beginning. Unless there is Krishna's mercy, Krishna as Antaryami inside, he gives us some Shraddha and encouragement, the taste for Bhagavatam will not build up inside. So, that is why Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, Janmandara bhavel punyam. Janmandare bhavel punyam, tatha Bhagavatam labhet. One gets Bhagavatam due to some pious activities in previous lifetime. And if there is no Krishna's grace or Krishna's mercy, Srimad Bhagavatam to hear, and to read Srimad Bhagavatam, to hear Srimad Bhagavatam, and to chant the holy name, all this is impossible. So, therefore, it is very, very important that when we hear Srimad Bhagavatam, we have to have the greatest attention and seriousness while listening to Bhagavatam. And that is how Bhagavatam begins. We will start with this first chapter. When Srimad Bhagavatam begins, before every chapter, Sri Rajarya Swamiji offers some prayers to Krishna, which are the Vandana Shlokam, as it's called. Vishwasarga Visargadi Navalakshana Lakshidam Shri Krishnakhyam Param Dhamam Jagaddhamunamamatal. He says, Sargam Visargam Sthanam Poshanam Udhim Anandaram Ishanugadha Nirodham Mukti Ashrayam. These Nirodham and Mukti, these nine symptoms, and Sri Rasvami pays his obeisances to that Supreme Truth, Krishna, who is the basis of all creation and who is addressed as Krishna, and we pay our obeisances to him. Vishasarga Visargadi Navalakshana Lakshinam Shri Krishna Akhyam Param Dhamma Jagad Dhamma Namamatal Sampradayanu Sarena Paurvabaryanu Sanada Srimal Bhagavata Bhavartha Divigayam Pratanyade. That this Bhavartha Divigya, Sridhara Swami says there, that without creating any contradictions from the previous acharyas who have spoken about Srimad Bhagavatam and their opinion, I will try my best to bring you the Bhavartham. We talked about that. Bhavartham means the spirit behind the Shastram. And this Bhavartha Divigya, I am endeavoring to write. Kvaham Mandamadi Kvedam Mandhanam Kshiravaridhe Kim Tatra Paramanurvai Yatra Majjadi Mandara. Look at Sridhara Swami's mood. He's saying, I am a dull-headed person. Kvaham Mandamadi, I am a dull-headed person. Kvedam Mandhanam Kshiravaridhe. That Srimal Bhagavatam is like an ocean of milk. And what can I do with it? And where even the Mandhara mountains go down in that ocean of milk. And here, I am just like a small Paramanu. Paramanu means I am a small amoeba-like thing. And I am so small that who am I to write a commentary on Srimad Bhagavatam? Kvaham mandamadi kvedam mandhanam kshiravaride kim tatra paramanurvai yatra majjadi majjadi mandara. Then he says, mogam karodhi vachalam Pangam Lenghayade Girim Yal Kribhata Mahamande Paramananda Madhavam. That by whose grace alone even a dumb person can become very fluent in speech, and a person who is very lame, he can cross over the mountains. And who can do that? Only by Krishna's mercy alone that is possible. Mogam Karodhi Vachalam Pangam Lenghayade Girim. And there is nothing that cannot be done by Krishna's grace. Sridhara Swami says there. Tadevam praname adhyaye shal prashna munivikritva didiyad uttaram sudam chaturnam chaturnamaha teshvatha. In this first chapter, Shaunagadi rishis, Shaunaga rishi and others who are present there in Naimisharanyam, they have asked Sudha Goswami 6 questions. And the 4 questions are answered in the second chapter, and in the first chapter these questions were asked. So we'll continue with that. Pradhamodhyaya Hari Shri Ganapadeya Nama Janmadhya Sayado Invaya Adhidharadas Charteshwa Vijnaswaran Tene Brahma Hridaya Adhigavaye Mukhyandiyal Suraya Tejo Varimradam Yadhavinivayo Yatratri Sargo Mrusha Thamna Svena Sada Nirastha Guhagam Satyam Varam Dhimahi Dharma Projidagaida Votravaram Onar Malsaranam Sadam Vedyam Vastavam Atravastu Shivadam Tapatrayo and Mulanam Srimad Bhagavade Mahamunigrade Kimbabare Ishwara Sadhyo Hrindyavarudya Detrakrativi Shushrushubhi Talshanal Nigama Kalpadarur Galidam Balam Shukamukhala Murdandravasam Yudam Pibada Bhagavadam Rasamalayam Muhuraho Rasiga Bhuvibhavugaha Naimishe Animisha Kshetre Ushaya Shaunaga Adiyana Satram Surgaya Logaya Sahasra Samamasadam Tayega Dadumaneya Pradar Hudahudagnaya Salkadam Sukhansudamasinam Paprachuridama Daral Krishayujum Toya Kalubranani Sedi Hasani Chanaga Akhyatyanya Pididani Dharma Shastrani Yanyuda Yani Vedavidam Shreshto Bhagavan Badarayana Anyajamaneya Suda Paravara Vidu Vidu Vetatum somidal servum the Todastadan Ugrihal, bruising the Sashishis Yaguravogu Himapuda Tatra the Tranjaso Yushman Bhoda Yadvinish Chidam Pusam Egan the Shreyas Tanasham Sidumar Hasi Pray Alpaisha Sabjakala was Minugajana Mandasumanda Madayoma the Magia Hibadrudaha Burini Buigar Mani Shodavyani Bhagasha, the Sadotra Yelsaram Samundritamani Ishaya, Bukhinashratada Dana, Yenalma Sambrasidadi. Sudajanasi Badram Devagavan Satwadambadi Devakyam Vasudevasya Jado Yasya Chigirshaya Tanna Shishushamanana Marhasyanganivarnidam Yasya Avadaryo Bhutanam Kshemayaja Bhavayaja ആപന്ന സംസ്കൃതിം ഘോരാമ്യം നാമയോശോ ഓഗ്രണൻ തദ്സദ്യോ വിമുച്യതയൽഭിഭേദി സ്വയം ഭയം യൽപാദ സംശ്രയാ സൂതമുനയ പ്രശമായനം സദ്യപുനന്തി വൽസ്പൃഷ്ട്വാ സ്വർധുന്യാപുനുസേവയാ കോ വാ ഭഗവതസ്തസ്യ പുണ്യശ്ലോകേഭ്യ കർമ്മണാ ശുദ്ധികാമോ നശൃണുയാത് യശക്കലിമലാവഹം തസ്യ കർമ്മാണി ഉദാരാണി പരിഗീതാനി സൂര്യമീ ബ്രൂഹിണ ശ്രദ്ധദാനാനാം ലീലയാ തദ്കലാഹ ദീർഘസത്രേണകഥായാം സക്ഷണാഹരേ ത്വം സന്ദർശിതോ ദാത്രാ ദുസ്തരം നിസ്ഥിതീർഷദാം കലിം സത്വഹരം പുംസാം കർണധാരമിവാർണവം ബ്രൂഹി യോഗേശ്വരേ കൃഷ്ണേ ബ്രഹ്മണ്യേ ധർമ്മവർമ്മണി ക്വസ്വാം കാഷ്ടാമധുനോ ഭേദേ ധർമ്മകം ശരണം ഗദാഹ. ഇത് ശ്രീമദ് ഭാഗവതേ മഹാപുരാണി പ്രഥമസ്കന്ധേനാമിഷയോവാഖ്യാനി പ്രഥമോധ്യായ സർവത്ര ഗോവിന്ദനാമ സങ്കീർത്തനം. ഗോവിന്ദ ഗോവിന്ദ. സോ ഇൻ ദിസ് ഫസ്റ്റ് ചാപ്റ്റർ വേദവ്യാസ മഹർഷി ഹി ഹാസ് ഡിവൈഡഡ് വേദം into four: Rigvedam, Yajurvedam, Samavedam and Atharvanavedam. And then he decided to compile Mahabharatam, isn't it? So many things Vedavyasa has done for the benefit of this world. In spite of that, he wasn't satisfied. Bhagavadam says that his intention was that it should benefit the people of this world. And it is with that intention Vedavyasa has executed. He has given a lot of his energy in compiling all this literature. But even after doing all that, Bhagavatam is saying that Vedavyasa himself did not feel satisfied. His intention was to give peace and happiness to all other living beings in this world. And for that purpose, his effort is so well known that nobody else has done what Vedavyasa has done. Divided the Vedas into four and then wrote Mahabharatam, 125,000 verses, and compiled all the Puranas. In spite of all that, Vedavyasa didn't feel peace within himself, some uneasiness inside that his effort has not been very fruitful. We also feel the same way, isn't it? You try to do something with a lot of interest and you wanted to have a proper result from that, but when the result didn't come up, you will feel a kind of dissatisfaction, and the same thing happened to Vedavyasa also. So, so when he didn't get it, then he started feeling that if all this what I have compiled, all this literature, if it is not going to help this world, it is in that state he was thinking, what should he do? While in that thoughts, while he was staying in the Badrikashram, it is at that time that Sri Narada Maharshi arrived there. Narada Maharshi came over, and according to Narada Maharshi's instructions, Vedavyasa Maharshi compiled Srimad Bhagavatam. That is the story. So, and here, that this Srimad Bhagavatam, while beginning with Srimad Bhagavatam, normally before we begin any famous literary work like that, the poets or the rishis, they will pay their respects to the deity whom they have very strong attachment. So before beginning the writing Srimad Bhagavatam, he is remembering that form which is very dear to Vedavyasa. That is his Upasana Murti, whom he worships on a daily basis. So, in order that his effort becomes fruitful. So that is why that first verse in the Bhagavatam itself is, he is remembering Krishna, whom he is very attached to, the form, and glorifying Krishna, and that is what he has done. Janmadhye Sayedho Invaya, that verse. He is referring to that. So in that verse, Vedavyasa is asking this question: why did Krishna begin this creation? What was the purpose behind this creation? The intention of this creation was that those living entities who have not experienced the spiritual happiness, they should get an opportunity to free themselves from the process of the material existence, and they wanted to get released from that. Because the reason for that is unhappiness is due to ignorance, ajnanam or avidya. You will see this discussed in the Bhagavatam all the way throughout. The reason for our miseries and suffering in this world is due to our own ignorance in us. So, because of that ajnanam or avidya, we are forced to accept different bodies, transmigration of one body to another, one planet to another, one species to another. This is constantly happening to us. And ultimately, when everything is over, then devastation happens and we go back and we ourselves dissolve in the Maya. That's where we dissolve, in the Maya. So, every time what happens is, after changing many bodies, eventually we go back and dissolve in the material nature or Prakriti or Maya, whichever way call it. Nobody is going back to Krishna. Nobody is going back to the spiritual world. Every time we go back and dissolve in the Prakriti, and when again creation begins, we come out of the Prakriti with all our previous vasanas. So that is a situation, and therefore he says here, Krishna thought about this and he said that how can they be taken away from this process of material existence or from the cycle of birth and death. And only for that purpose, when we were dissolved in the Maya, Krishna decided that again creation must begin. And that releasing us from the grip of the material nature and sending us back again with another material body, that is where creation is required. So creation, purpose of creation is this, that when we dissolve in the Prakriti, all living entities are in their latent state. They are dissolved in the Prakriti. And when Prakriti, we have no opportunity to come out of this material nature. And Krishna decided that in order for us to get ourselves free from the material existence, we were given these different bodies and sent away from the Prakriti. And that is that state, what Krishna is saying, is called creation here. And it is for that purpose Krishna has looked at the Prakriti, and from that creation began. You will see this mentioned later in the Bhagavatam. That by glancing over the material nature, creation began, it says. Glancing over the material nature. So, Maya's responsibility is to release the conditioned souls from her grip, and everyone requires to be released from this material existence. So, just by creation alone, that is not going to happen. First of all, Vedavyasa Maharshi says that when they are released from the material nature, in order that for them to develop spiritually, they have to have certain requirement. There is certain requirements. The people requires to have consciousness of the dharma principle, dharmic principles or bodham, dharmic principles. And they should feel in engaging in proper activities which are not forbidden by the shastra. So, but not only that, these living entities who come from material nature, from Prakriti, they have a lot of bad vasanas inside. These billions and billions of living entities who are accepting body here for a short period of time. Like we come here, we didn't know where we arrived from. We have a certain period of time here. We don't know why we are here. And at the end, we don't know where we are going. This is our actual situation. So, Vedavyasa Maharshi, knowing these things, he has set up a system that these vasanas inside are giving them a lot of trouble. Because when we come here, we act according to our vasana inside. Whatever impressions we have in our karana sharira, based on the avidya or ajnanam, ignorance inside, we act here. And along with that, we create further bad vasanas and further extension of our cycle of birth and death. So, Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita that to maintain dharma,
to maintain the religious principles and to destroy the adharmic thing, that means irreligious activities, Krishna had to take different body. Krishna has to accept different forms, isn't it? In the Bhagavatam you will see Matsyam, Kurmam, Varaham, Nrisimham, Vamanam. Like that, so many major incarnations spoken. But they are not the only incarnations. All the time Krishna is coming in different forms. Avadaram Asankhyoyam says in the Bhagavatam. Unlimited. But only the major ones are spoken here. 24 of them spoken in the third or fourth chapter. And then you can see Jayadeva Goswami spoke 10 major incarnations in that way. But purpose of all incarnations is to establish dharmam here and to destroy irreligious activities. So that is necessary, because only if the living entities follow the religious principles, they have an opportunity to develop spiritually. Otherwise it is not possible. You can't have irreligious way of life and to develop spiritual life. That's not possible. So therefore it is said that adharmam, or adharma means irreligious principles, where are they? They are in the people who are following irreligious principles in life, in them. So that is when some instances Krishna has to kill them who are engaged in such irreligious principles. And even after doing that with several incarnations, still Krishna felt that the purpose has not been served. It is at that time that finally Krishna has decided to appear in Mathura, and at the end of Dwapara Yugam, that as the son of Vasudeva and Devaki, Krishna appeared. That is what it says, Janmadyasya Yataha. So, and then for some time, Krishna spent very little time in Gokulam, and from there he moved to Vrindavanam, and in Vrindavanam he had his beautiful childhood pastimes. Afterwards he came to Mathura, and he killed Kamsa and several other wicked persons, and then he trapped and he moved to Dwaraka. So, and in all these places, Vrindavana Leela, Madhura Leela and Dwaraka Leela, all three places, Krishna has performed like an ordinary person. He stayed there. And then finally, through Mahabharata war, he has destroyed several Kshatriya kings who were following the religious principles in life, and he established dharmam again. And all those who followed irreligious religious life, he has destroyed them. And finally, when he realized that the purpose of his descent, coming to this earthly planet, when that was completed, Krishna felt that if anyone wants to come back to Vaikuntha planet, he wanted to build a royal path for them, and that is Srimad Bhagavatam. And after doing all these things, Krishna disappeared from the vision. So that Krishna, I am remembering him, says Vedavyasa Maharshi there. I am remembering Krishna who has done all these activities and finally left this world. So it is that, keeping that in mind, Vedavyasa has spoken that verse. Janmadhyasa yadonvayadidharadas chartesh abhinyaswarad tene brahma hrida ya adigavaye mukhyandiyal suraya Tejo Vadivradam Yadha Vinimayo Yatra Trisargo Mrusha Dhamna Svena Sada Nirasta Ghogam Satyambaram Dimahi. So there are a few more things, that Vrindavana Leela, Madhura Leela and Dwaraka Leela, through these three different Leela at three different places, Krishna established the religious principles here and very well knew that Kali Yugam is on its way. So, in the Kali Yugam, the situation is that they do not know what is the purpose of life. This is the difficulty with Kali Yugam. Everyone is very blind in Kali Yugam, spiritually blind. And so, that is why Tattaval Bhadi Sakshal. Therefore, Krishna decided that this Srimad Bhagavatam has been given by Krishna to this world, because Srimad Bhagavatam is a literature that can guide a person all the way in his spiritual life. So, there is nothing superior to Srimad Bhagavatam in the age of Kali. So, our prayer to Krishna is also that we are trying to understand the Srimad Bhagavatam, and unless there is Krishna's grace, it's not possible to know what Bhagavatam means. There are so many things in the Bhagavatam which requires understanding, and that understanding comes from when Antaryami inside, while we read Srimad Bhagavatam, has to reveal it to us. It is the difficulty with Bhagavatam. So, remembering all these situations with the Bhagavatam and how much Krishna's grace is necessary to understand Bhagavatam, we will have to begin Bhagavatam with the prayers to Krishna. So, Vedavyasa Maharshi wrote Srimad Bhagavatam and taught this to Sukadeva Goswami, Sri Shukha Brahmarshi, his son. And from Shukha Brahmarshi, Suda Goswami learned Srimad Bhagavatam. And that Suda Goswami has come to Naimisharanyam. And in Naimisharanyam, which is where, which is the Vishnu Kshetram, in other words, that there thousands of rishis have come together and they have come to know that Kali Yuga is beginning and this age of Kali is a very dangerous time. So they have started a sacrifice there, and it is there that Suda Goswami goes and instructs Bhagavatam to those rishis who are present there. And this Srimad Bhagavatam, before this happened to Suda Goswami and the rishis, Vedavyasa Maharshi knew that what he has taught to Sri Shukha Brahmarshi in the Srimad Bhagavatam that he has taught to his son, Sukadeva Goswami, will in due course will be again spoken by Suda Goswami in Naimisharanyam, and it will be heard by thousands of rishis who are present there. So, that is why when you see the Srimad Bhagavatam, what we are reading today, the beginning is in Naimisharanyam. Beginning is in Naimisharanyam. So, that is the first scene in the Bhagavatam. Kali Yuga is on its way. Just like you can see when there is going to be heavy rain, sometimes there is thunder and lightning. Similarly, this Kali Yuga begins, and as so the beginning of that Kali Yuga, you can see the thunder and lightning happening. Which means, what is the thunder and lightning here? Thunder and lightning means how people become irreligious, how people lose their spiritual interest and become turning into enjoy the material life. This tendency in the human society. That is the lightning and the thunder of the entry of Kali Yuga. It is only in the Kali Yuga people have felt this need to develop economic development. They felt it so strongly in the age of Kali than any time before. So, the result of that is due to this economic development, and from that the sense gratification that follows from that, this is the symptom of that age of Kali. So, because of that, wherever you look, you find irreligious activities, and wherever you look, you find things that's happening which disturbs the mind, So, to stay away from all these things and to serve Krishna and to make the life perfect, or to reach the goal of life, and for this reason, the Rishi, Shaunaga Rishi and many others, they came to Naimisharanyam because they saw the tendency in the people, how they were degraded already. You will see so many verses mentioned there. Then, they say, Kalimagadamajnaya Kshetraismin Vaishnave Vayam Asinam Durga Satrana Kathayam Satshanam Hare. So, already the Rishis are very intelligent people. they notice the changes that's happening in the society. You can, many verses, that Rishaya Uchu, if you read all that, you will see what they are saying there. Abanna samsradim ghoram yannama yuvasho oganan tadas adyuvimuchyada yal bhibedi swayam bhayam. Prayan alpayusha sabhya kalavasmin yugejana manda sumandamadayo mandamagya hubadruda. All those verses are talking about the age of Kali and its impact on the people's way of thinking. So, they knew very well that these rishis who are present there, they are totally absorbed in the spiritual life. Seeing the people's state of mind, they were habituated to their own practices in spiritual activities. What are they? To wake up early in the morning, waiting, and performing their sadhyavandanam, the three times a day, in three sandhyas, morning, midday and evening. And their nishtha activities which are prescribed to them, and according to their system, they were serving Krishna. But they knew very well, all those things, although important, that alone is not sufficient. That is why they wanted to hear Bhagavatam. They wanted to hear Bhagavatam, because they knew in the age of Kali, there is nothing better than Srimad Bhagavatam to bring that peace inside, to keep peaceful state inside. And Shaunagadi Rishis, they knew about that. And they are not used to speaking. They are used to listening. This is the situation. The Shaunaga Rishi and many others who are present in the Naimisharanyam, they are not used to speaking. They are used to listening. They are used to listening. So, not only that, this actually, they know things. They are more learned than the Sudha Goswami who is going to speak Srimad Bhagavatam to them. Sudha Goswami is a Pauranigan. He studied only Puranas. Whereas Shaunaga Rishi and all other Rishis who are present in the Naimisharanyam, they were learned in Vedantam, Upanishads, everything. They are on a much higher, highly educated people, but still they wanted to hear from Sudha Goswami. That is the interesting part here. So, they are used to listening rather than speaking. They are used to listening rather than speaking. Shravanam sarvadharmebhyo varam anyada sadhanaha. So, because hearing itself is a great art, that if you have full attention, if you sit and listen and fully focused, then it is not a very difficult thing, isn't it? So, somehow or the other, they were in that state, they wanted to hear Srimad Bhagavatam, and when they were in that state, staying in that Naimisharanyam, it was at that time that by Krishna's arrangement, Sudha Goswami comes in to Naimisharanyam. And he came in front of them, and Shaunaga Rishi and others, they were very pleased to see Sudha Goswami. You have to remember here, Sudha Goswami is not any more educated than, spiritually educated than the Shaunaga Rishis and many others. Sudha Goswami only has studied Puranams. He has not studied the other Vedantic literature. Whereas Shaunaga Rishi are trained in the Vedic, in the Vedam, Upanishads and Brahma Sutram and any other higher literature, but still they wanted to hear Srimad Bhagavatam. And Sudha Goswami arrives there. When he came there, the rishis who were present there, they told Sudha Goswami, we're very pleased, it's getting dark here. But they give an example like this, that it's dark and it's going to rain, and you want to cross a river. There is no light either. So, when you are standing there thinking what to do, how to get to the other side of the river, suppose suddenly someone comes and he asks you, do you want to come with me? I'm going to cross to the other side of the river. I got the boat to go. So, at that time, how you would feel, how happy you will feel. Similarly, this material existence is considered to be like a material existence is considered to be like an ocean. You want to cross over that. And the rishis are saying to Shaunaga Rishi and others are saying to Sudha Goswami, that we want to cross over this ocean of material existence, and the boat for crossing this river you have got with you. We know that. And that is Krishna's story, Krishna's pastimes. And when they put the whole thing together like this to Sudha Goswami, he felt immensely pleased by the request from the Shaunagrishi and others. And one after the other, Sudha and Shaunagrishi conversation begins at that time. And that is why Srimad Bhagavatam begins as the Sudha Shaunaga Samvadam. Discussion between Sudha Goswami and Sudha Goswami and Shaunagrishi. So when Vedavyasa Maharshi compiled Srimad Bhagavatam, he wrote it in this format. As Sudha Shaunaga Samvadam, it has been written. That is how we find it here. So, and after all that was over, that the at the end, the rishis are asking him a question. Sudha, Krishna Prapti Garam mentions there that the Bruhi Yogeshwari Krishna Brahmanya Dharma Varmani Swam Kashtam Madhunopeti Dharmakam Sharanam Gada Dharmakam Sharanam Gada. That what will happen? It is from this where Bhagavatam begins actually. Bhagavatam begins from there. For example, so many different kinds of dharmam has been spoken in the Mahabharata, isn't it? Varnashrama dharmam, Purusha dharmam, Sri dharmam, Raja dharmam, like that, Varnashrama dharmam, all that is spoken in the Mahabharata. So, not only that, even if you go enter into the Vedam, you will see different kinds of dharmam that has been spoken. So, there are so many pious activities which are meant to be performed in human life in the Vedam. For example, Brahmanas have to perform Sandhya Vandanam, Shraddha ceremony. And if you look at the amount of rules and regulations of activities meant for all the four Varnas, for everyone in the human society, there is no time to do everything. It is so vast, the list is. If you look at the Puranams, the Smriti, Upanishads, everything, if you start reading through it, you will see that there is no time to do anything else except to do activities in spiritual life, spiritual activities. So, one thing is certain, that even if you have the whole lifespan, then even the whole lifespan, if you spend in executing the injunctions of the Shastram, you will not be able to do it. Because there is so many instructions there. Different samskarams to be performed, and on a daily basis, nitya karma what you have to do, and on a naimitya karma, is an endless list of rituals which have been given to us on everyday basis to be executed, to be done. But it is not possible to do all that and to feel satisfied at the end of life. Everybody knows that. That is why many people will find it very hard to understand how can we structure our life centered around all those instructions in the Puranams and Upanishads and the Smritis. It is so vast. So, the question was, Shaunagrishi is asking Sudha Goswami, what is the essence of all these things? It is impossible for us to go through this whole thing, because after all, we have a limited time and limited energy. With that, to take all these instructions on board is difficult. So, but what is the essence of all these things? By doing what? That we can get over this material life once for all, and we will get back to Krishna. Krishna Prapti Garam, he says. Krishna Prapti Garam. Krishna Praptigaram, how to get back to Krishna? This was the question. And that is where Srimad Bhagavatam begins. And then there is, there mentioned, you will see, there were six questions were asked. And these, in essence, all what it means is that they want to hear about Krishna. And one important question there was, in the age of Kali, they asked to Sula Goswami, in the age of Kali, where will you find the dharma? Where will you find the spiritual principles? Where will you find that? That is the most important question there. So, while Krishna was present in the planet, all spiritual activities, dharma, religious principles, were dependent on Krishna. But when Krishna left the world and went back to his abode, spiritual abode, what has happened to religious principles? Where have they taken shelter? While Krishna was present here, all religious principles were based on Krishna's activities. Krishna's established religious principles, he established religious principles here. But when Krishna went back to the spiritual world, what happened to the religious principles? Because if you look into the Vedam, it is very difficult to know what one has to accept and one has to reject. Vedam is like a huge ocean. And by studying Vedam and to understand from Vedam everything is impossible, humanly impossible. So, therefore, the Sudha Goswami was questioned by Shaunagarishi and others, what should we do? By doing that, Krishna will be pleased. How can we please Krishna? And how should they serve Krishna in this age of Kali? Like this, all these questions have come. And particularly, we want to hear different incarnations of Krishna. Malsyam, fish incarnation, tortoise incarnation, boar incarnation, and another many number of incarnations, how they were done. And that is why we are here. We want to sit here and we want to listen to it, says our Shaunagarishi and others to him. So so now the question comes. Sudha Goswami's problem is, if he has to speak extensively all these things, would we have the time for that? That was the first question. Because if you make it too long, what can happen? Suppose in the middle of that, somebody can get sick, or somebody may die in that during that period, if you go on talking for a very long period of time. So nobody knows how long they have the time, isn't it? How much time is available? That's unknown to them. So when this issue was brought up, Sudha Goswami had this question. The rishis were present there. They told Sudha Goswami, do not worry about that. That is not a problem. You will see there in the 16th verse what they have done for that. Such a thing to avoid that. Kova bhagavadastasya punya shloge dhyakarmana shuddhigamo nashunuyat yashakkalimalavaham. What has to be done when if something goes wrong during the time when I am going to talk about Krishna? But that is the question, and for that they have answered that. You will see in the 16th chapter of the first canto. There you will see one interesting thing they have mentioned. What did they say? They are saying to him that the eighth verse in the 16th chapter, that is what the rishis told them to Sudha Goswami. Shaunagarishi is saying what he has done. So that when Bhagavatam begins and when they start speaking Srimad Bhagavatam, because what's happening there, this sacrifice that's going on lasting thousands of years in Naimisharanyam, And the people who are present there, they were concerned that when Suda Goswami starts speaking Bhagavadam, it is possible that one may get sick during the period. One could die and go. So if such things happen, what is the solution to that? So from that you can understand how serious they were in hearing Srimad Bhagavatam. How seriously they have taken. How seriously they have taken. That is the answer there. Iho bahudo bhagavan mrityushamitra karmani na kaschil mriyade tavad avadasta iham daga. He says here that Bhagavan Mrityushamitra Karmani. To hear Srimad Bhagavatam, we have invited many people here. Who says Shavanagrishi? We have invited many people to come here. Among them, Yamadharma Raja also had come. And he is sitting here among us. He is sitting there. Therefore, there is no need to fear that because when he is here, nobody will die. Nobody will get sick. You don't have to have any fear about that. They made this guarantee to Suda Goswami. They gave this guarantee to Suda Goswami. That's what that verse is saying. Iho bahudo bhagavan mrityushyamitra karmani na kaschil mriyade tavad avadasta iham daga. That they are saying to him, we have taken this insurance from Yama, that nobody will die and nobody will get sick and everyone will have full health and lifespan till you finish Srimad Bhagavatam. It is on that guarantee Bhagavatam is beginning there. So this is an important thing because we don't realize it. Without Krishna's grace, we don't get an opportunity to hear Bhagavatam. And sometimes, so much prarabdham can come and take you away from Bhagavatam in some form or the other. Your mind will go in some other direction and it can be taken away. So, therefore they were insisting on Suda Goswami that we would like to hear in detail from you, from what you have heard from Shubhramarshi. And so many incarnations have happened before, but out of all that, why did Krishna appear himself? And what was the benefit of that? And every appearance had its own purpose, isn't it? For example, when Krishna came as Narasimha, Lord Narasimha, at that time there was an intention to protect Prahlada. Similarly, Varaha Avataram, in the incarnation of Varaha, Hiranyaksha has to be killed and the earthly planet has to be supported. So, every incarnation has a purpose behind it. But what is the purpose of Krishna's appearance? That was the question. Why is this question so important? If you look into several commentaries, Sanatana Goswami's Vaishnava Toshini, Sri Rajarya's commentary, Bhavartha Deepika, and several others, what you can understand from that is, this question has a very special significance. Why this Krishnavataram? Why? What is so important about Krishna's appearance? The reason is, there are Chatur Yugams, isn't it? For Kritam Treta Dwabaram Kali, the four yugas. In every Chatur Yugam, Krishna doesn't come. Krishna doesn't appear in all the Chaturyugam. Other incarnations appears in all the Chaturyugam. Kritam Treta Dwabaram Kali. All other incarnations appear except Krishnavataram, Krishna's appearance alone. Krishna's appearance has happened in the 28th Chaturyugam of this Chaturyugam, which is the 28th of the, as you know, that there is 1000 Chaturyugam makes a day of Lord Brahma. So out of the 1000 Chaturyugams, which is one Chaturyugam is one Krita, Treta, Satyugam, Tredayugam, Dwabarayugam, Kali. four yugams makes one chaturyugam. So thousand of these chaturyugam makes day of Lord Brahma, and out of these thousand chaturyugams, on the 28th chaturyugam, Krishna has appeared. Only 28th chaturyugam, Krishna has appeared. So, and it is difficult to say when this will happen again. So, and that is why this chaturyugam, where we are now present in this Kali Yugam, we had the great fortune that Krishna has appeared in the last chaturyugam. So, therefore, the learned people, the great devotees and acharyas, they are saying that this chaturyugam had a speciality, this particular chaturyugam. And because the end of Dwapara Yugam, Krishna has appeared, and we got birth in this Kali Yugam right after that Dwapara Yugam. In the last Dwapara Yugam, Krishna appeared, and we got birth in this Kali Yugam. So that is why to get a birth in this Kali Yugam itself is glorious. For one reason only, that we are able to close to be born at the time when Krishna appeared in this world. Soyam Kalaya Kalo Jayati. Therefore all glories to Kali. And then another thing, that this appearance of Krishna is not very ordinary thing, that Krishna has decided to descend from Goloka Vrindavanam or from Vaikuntham, wherever he is abode, to come to us, into the middle of us, into the people. And he appeared here, and after some time Krishna disappeared. Krishna disappeared. And therefore, this incarnation is known, Krishna's descending is called Paripurna Tamam. Paripurna Tamam means that it is complete in all aspects, this appearance. And why did the Absolute Truth come in the form of Krishna here? And because we would like to understand that better. These were the questions from Shravanaka Rishi. And when they asked all these questions, Suta Goswami was very, very pleased. And in answer to that, Suta begins the second chapter. So the first chapter is all mentioning about this, why it is spoken in this way, Suta and Shravanaka conversation. And what was the questions that was asked by, Shravanaka Rishi wanted to know from Suta Goswami? The question they have raised, and Suta Goswami, in answer to that, begins the second chapter. We will just read through that chapter. Shri Vyasa Vacha, Idi Samprasna Samprishto Vipranam Brahmaharshani, Pradipuja Vajastesham Pravaktum Upachakrame, Suta Vacha, Yam Prabrajandamani Vedama Vedakrityam, Dvaivayano Virahagadrama Juhava, നാരായണം നമസ്കൃത്യ നരം ചൈവ നരോത്തമം ദേവീം സരസ്വതീം വ്യാസം തതോ ജയമുദീരയൽ പുനയസ്സാധു പൃഷ്ടോഹം ഭവദ്ഭിർ ലോകമംഗളം യൽക്കഥ കൃഷ്ണ സംപ്രശ്നോ യേനാത്മാ സംപ്രസീദതി സ വൈപും സാംബരോ ധർമ്മം യഥോ ഭക്തിരതോക്ഷചേ അഹൈതുകിയ പ്രതിഹതയാൽമാ സംപ്രസീദതി വാസുദേവേ ഭഗവതി ഭക്തിയോഗ പ്രയോജിത ജനയത്യാശു വൈരാഗ്യം ജ്ഞാനം ചേതഹൈതുകം ധർമ്മസ്വനിഷിത പുംസാം വിശ്വക്സേന കഥാസു യൽനോൽപാദയതി എതിരതിം ശ്രമയേവ ഹി കേവലം ധർമ്മസ്യഹവവർഗസ്യ സ്വനിഷ്ഠിതസ്യ ധർമ്മസ്യ സംസിദ്ധിർ ഹരിദോഷണം തസ്മാദേകേന മനസാ ഭഗവാൻ സാധുതാം പതിശോധ വികൃതിതവശ്ച ധ്യേയപൂജ്യശ്ച നിത്യതാ യതനുധ്യാസനായുക്ത കർമ്മഗ്രന്ഥി നിബന്ധനം ചിന്തന്തി കോവിദാസ്യ കോനകുര്യാൽകധാരതിം ശുശ്രൂഷോ ശ്രദ്ധധാനസ്യ വാസുദേവ കഥാരുചി സ്യാൻമഹ സേവയാ വിപ്ര പുണ്യതീർത്ഥ നിഷേവണാൽ ശ്രുണതാംസകഥാം കൃഷ്ണ പുണ്യശ്രവണകീർത്തന ഹൃദ്യന്തസ്ഥോ ഹി അഭദ്രാണി വിധിനോ സുഹൃത്സദാം നഷ്ടപ്രായേഷു അബദ്ധേഷു നിത്യം ഭാഗവത സേവയാ ഭഗവദ്യുത്തമ ശ്ലോകേ ഭക്തിർഭവതി നൈഷ്ഠികി തദാരജസ്തമോഭാവം കാമലോഭാദയശ്ചയേ ചേതമേധരനാവിന്ദം സ്ഥിതം സത്വേ പ്രസീദതി ഏവം പ്രസന്ന മനസോ ഭഗവത് ഭക്തിയോഗത Bhagavat Tattva Vijnana Mukta Sangasya Jayade Vidyade Hriday Granthi Chidyande Sarva Samshaya Kshiyande Chase Karmani Drishtame Valpani Ishvare Adho Veka Vyodityam Bhaktim Paramayamuda Vasudeve Bhagavati Kurvandi Alpam Prasadanim Sattam Prajastama Yadi Prakadir Gunaste Itakpara Prashayagami Haasya Datte Stithyade Hari Virinji Hariji Samya Shrayamsi Tatragalu Sattodano Nranamsiyum Partivandharanoduma Tasmadagnistrayi Maya Tamasurajastasmal Sattam Yal Brahma Darshanam Bhejri Maniyodhagriya Bhagavandama Dokshajam Sattam Vishuddham Shemaya Kalpandeyi Anudaniha Mumbutshavokali Rupal Hitva Budhavadhinatha Narayana Gala Shanda Bhajanti Hanasuyava Rajastama Prakriya Samashila Bhajanti Vai Pidra Bhuda Prajay Shadini Shri Aishwarya Prajapsava Vasudevara Veda Vasudevara Maha Vasudevara Yoga Vasudevara Kriya Vasudevara Jnana Vasudevara Dava Vasudevara Dharma Vasudevara Gadi Saivedam Sasarjagri Bhavana Bhagavan Alpamaya Sadasadruvaya Chasu Gunamaya Guno Vibhu Taya Vilasideshu Guneshu Gunavaniva Anda Pravishtama Bhadi Vijnanin Vijrambida Yatha Vavahido Vanyar Dharishu Egaswayonishu Naneva Bhadi Vishwal Mabudeshu Tatha Puvan Aso Gunamayar Bhavir Buddha Sushmendri Atmavi Sundar Mineshundar Vishto Bungte Buddhesh the Buddhesh Dal Gunan Bhavay Tishasatin Logan Vailoga Bhavana Lilavadaranjado Devadi Ignaradishu Srimal Bhagavati Mahabrani Pradamaskande Vishio Bakhani Didio Dhyaya Sarvatra Govinda Nam Sangirtanam Govinda Govinda. So when they heard these questions from the rishis, when Sula Goswami heard these questions from the Rishis, he congratulated them. Mune sadhu brishtoham bhavadbhar loka mangalam, he says there. That means that these questions are going to be of immense benefit to the whole human population. Whole human population. Because it is from these questions that Srimad Bhagavatam has begun. First thing what they asked was, the Rishis have asked us, how can we in the age of Kali people have some peace of mind and shanti and samadhanam and sukham, some happiness in life? So Suda says to him, Yatkrida Krishna Samprasno Yena Alma Samprasidati. You will say there that Yatkrida, in the fifth verse, Munaya Sadhu Brishtoham Bhavadbhar Logamangalam Yalkrida Krishna Samprasno Yenalma Samprasidati. There is only one way, he says there. We want to understand about Krishna. If a person start thinking like that, I just want to understand Krishna and I want to hear about Krishna. If somebody starts thinking like that, he will start feeling happiness inside. This is the Yalkrida Krishna Samprasno Yenalma Samprasidati. Sudha Goswami says, if you have some desire built up inside to hear about Krishna, if such a desire builds up inside, then in a natural way there will be some shanti along with that. Some peace inside. So his point is that if one builds up some desire that I want to hear about Krishna, and if that thought comes inside, then naturally you will feel immense peace inside. There's nothing else required. The more we get closer, our mind gets closer to Krishna, to that extent shanti or peace and happiness will come within. The more we go away from Krishna, not keeping closer to Krishna, more towards the sense enjoyment or sense gratification or sense objects, to that extent distress will come in life. This is the principle. Muneya sadhu prashtoham bhavadbhar loga mangalam yalkrida krishna samprasno yenalma samprasidati. That's what that verse is saying. That the more we get closer to Krishna, inquiring about Krishna, hearing about Krishna, shanti or peace will develop within, without any effort. And the more we go away from Krishna, not caring for Srimad Bhagavatam, and get absorbed in the other issues of this world, then automatically mind will be more disturbed from that. So this verse is reminding us of Krishna, and Sudha Goswami says to them that your questions are very appropriate. When, then another question they asked was, what is the greatest dharmam? Savai pumsam paro dharmam. What is that greatest dharmam of any living entity in this world? What is his responsibility? Mahabharata Vedavyasa Maharshi says, dharmo rakshati rakshita. One who follows dharmam, dharmam will protect that person. One who lives according to dharmam, dharmam will protect that person. So, because only from dharmam, if the life is based on dharmam, only then there can be happiness in this life. Otherwise it is not possible. It is not possible. So adharmam or irreligious way of life brings distress in life. So no matter, you may have acquired a lot of wealth in this world, and even if all other situations in life is favorable to make you happy, but you will not feel happy because there is no dharmam. That is the understanding, proper understanding, that if there is no dharmic way of life, even if you have acquired a lot of wealth and all other facilities in life to become happy, if I tried that, still happiness won't come unless there is dharmam in that life, in a person's life. So, it is in order to explain that principle, Vedavyasa Maharshi compiled Mahabharata. Through Mahabharata, that's what he is trying to teach us. It is more centered around the dharma, to establish the importance of dharma. That is why dharma is the topic discussed in the Mahabharata. And all the story of the Pandavas, Kauravas, everything is to prove it to us. The reason why Kauravas had no happiness in life, in spite of that they were more opulent and wealthy and manpower and everything they had, but because there was no dharma in their life, their life was hell. Life was a hell. So, particularly you can see among the Kauravas, Duryodhana and others, he had everything. He had everything with him, isn't it? As wealth is concerned. Even though Duryodhana had all the opulences and he used to sleep in the best air-conditioned bedroom, whatever that one could think of, Duryodhana was never happy. Pandavas were living in the forest, sleeping on the rocks and in very difficult situations, but inside they were peaceful. Pandavas were peaceful. Because the reason for that is Pandavas were more dharmic. Their life was based on dharma. So Kauravas didn't have that. Therefore, what happened? The happiness that Pandavas derived from dharma is what is spoken in the Mahabharata. So in Mahabharata, Vedavyasa Maharshi gave so much importance to dharma and spoke about that in detail in the whole of Mahabharata. So, that Vedavyasa Maharshi who wrote this Mahabharata, what's he saying in the Bhagavatam in a little different way now? He's saying to him, when they asked him what is the greatest dharma, what did he say? Savai pumsam paro dharmam yado bhakti rathokshache ahaituki apratihata yena atma samprasidati. He says there, isn't it? So, yena atma samprasidati. So, that is now, that is the greatest dharma. That is the greatest dharma. By executing which dharma that will develop bhakti in the heart, that is the greatest dharma. Vedavyasa has changed that position from Mahabharatam to Bhagavatam. In Mahabharatam, he stressed the importance of dharma in life, dharmic life. And he explained all other things about Varna Dharma, Ashrama Dharma, Brahmajari Grastha, Vanaprastham, Sanyasam, Brahman, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra, and all other dharma, Purusha Dharma, Sri Dharma, Raja Dharma, anything, every dharma related to a person's life in this world, he has covered in the Mahabharata. So after saying all that, he said that he is trying to prove to the world that established in dharmam, one should live in this world. Dharmam should be the basis of our life in this world. That is what he established in the Mahabharata. Out of the four things, religious principles, economic development, sense gratification and liberation. Four things. Out of these four, dharmam is the foundation. He said, based on dharmam, you can have economic development. But in the way, dharmam should be there, in there. Based on dharmam, you can have sense gratification. But allowed by the shastra. If it is done like that, he is entitled for liberation. That was the principle in the Mahabharata. But here, when Vedavyasa Maharshi is saying here, that it is not that simple. It's a little more than that. That's why he says here, Savai Pumsam Paryo Dharmam. Dharmam of above all other dharmam, superior to all that is, Yado Bhakti Rathokshaje, to become a devotee, or to surrendering to Krishna, is the greatest dharmam he is establishing here. And that is the greatest dharmam. Why has this not spoken explicitly there? Without saying what it is, all he said was, by doing what Krishna will be pleased, that is the greatest dharmam. That's how he puts it. You may do whatever you like, but ultimately if it pleases Krishna, then that is the dharma. That's how he defined dharma. Savai pumsam paryo dharmam yado bhakti adhokshaje ahaituki apratihada heyalma samprasitati. So, and it is very difficult to say what will please Krishna. This is the difficulty with dharma. It is very difficult to say what will please Krishna. Everybody thinks how to please Krishna. But to please Krishna is the most difficult thing also. Because what will please Krishna, nobody knows. You can say anything. But does it please Krishna? That's the question. And what is the best thing? That we don't have the right to analyze that. What will please Krishna? This is our situation in this world. We haven't been given that freedom to say what will please Krishna. Because you will see in the Bhagavatam this very often. Krishna says, I will be pleased with something, and you will never understand why Krishna is pleased with that. That's the way Krishna is. Krishna's special position is like that. So Krishna says to Prachetas story, you will see there. Prachetas came and performed 10,000 years underneath the water, they are performing penances. And when they saw Krishna, Krishna says to them, I am very pleased with you. Why? Because when I see you, 10 of you together, without quarreling and fighting, arguing each other, I am pleased with that, he says to them. So, therefore, seeing their unity, that pleased Krishna. Seeing their unity, that pleased Krishna. And to Ajamila he says, you chanted my holy name, I am pleased. He says to Ajamila, he chanted one's holy name, I am pleased with him. So, Krishna's position is like that. You cannot put any restriction on Krishna's happiness. How, what pleases Krishna? Nobody knows. Nobody knows what pleases Krishna. Nobody pleases Krishna. So, once he chanted Narayana and Krishna got pleased. We chanted how many rounds now? And we still don't know whether Krishna is pleased or not. Because on logically, if you look at it, we should have been pleased much more than Ajamila with us. Isn't it? But still we feel that Krishna is not pleased with us. That's why we are here, isn't it? So, similarly, Sudama brought a little bit of flat rice, which was full of stones. Krishna accepted it happily and said he is pleased with that. You see in the Bhagavatam how he says to Sudama, I am pleased with what you brought. You bring all the millions of pounds worth of goods and you hand it over to Krishna, he says, I am not pleased with you. Pleased with you. So, so, with one person, due to his truthfulness, Krishna is pleased. Another person, due to charity, Krishna is pleased. And, but it is impossible to say what will please Krishna. What will please Krishna? There is so many interesting incidents about this. that to pleasing Krishna is not an easy thing. We think that Krishna will be pleased, oh, I am following all the regulative principles, or I am chanting my 16 rounds, I am initiated, I have been given all the rules and regulations, I am following strictly. And if I go and tell Krishna, look, I have done everything what you have told me, are you happy with me? He says, no. Then what will you say? That is why, if you remember in Krishna Karnamalam, when Vilamangalam finished that, what did he say to Krishna finally? He says to him, Ya Pridhar Vidurarpide Muraripo Kundyarpide Yadrishi Ya Govardhana Mudriya Chapradege Stanye Yashodarpide Bharadvaja Samarpide Shabariga Dathe Dhare Yoshidam Ya Pridhar Munibatni Bhaktarechite Pratravi Tam Tam Kuru. This is the last verse in the Karnamrata. What is interesting about that verse, he says there, that when he says to, Vilamalam says to Krishna, that when you went as a representative of the Pandavas, as their representative, to negotiate peace with the Kauravas, at that time, Duryodhana invited you to his palace to stay. You didn't go. Instead, you went to Vidura's house and stayed there. And whatever Vidura offered, it was not very opulent as much as what Duryodhana would have given. No, but what pleased Krishna was Vidura's love and Vidura's offering. That pleased him, isn't it? Similarly, Kunti Devi, in several instances in the forest, when Krishna visited them, whatever that was available in the forest, fruits or whatever they got, Kunti Devi offered it to Krishna, and Krishna happily accepted that. When they were in their stay in the forest, when they were thrown away from the palace in Hastinapur, then all the cowherd boys, when they decided to honor Govardhana mountain, they prepared some prasadam that day for offering to Govardhanam, isn't it? And whatever cowherd boys have prepared that day, and the gopis have prepared that, everything Krishna has accepted happily. Krishna has accepted happily. Similarly, when Sudama brought that flat rice with full of stones in that, and you have eaten that happily. You have eaten that happily. And when you were a little baby, when Yashoda Devi gave the breast milk, you have accepted that happily. You had no problem with that. In the appearance, when you came as Ramachandra, in Ramavadaram, Sri Ramavadaram, that Bharadvaja Maharshi invited you to his ashram, and with the forest flowers and forest fruits, what was available in the forest, he welcomed Ramachandra there and offered everything to him, and you were pleased with that. You were pleased with that. Bharadvaja Maharshi, when Ramachandra came, did not arrange the feast like the way he did for Bharata and the Ayodhya people. When Ayodhya people came, people of Ayodhya came with Bharata, knowing very well their mood, he arranged a big feast for them. And the people did not want to go back to Ayodhya, seeing the happiness they had from the feast. And Bharadvaja Maharshi was such a powerful yogi that, and the rishi, he could bring people from the heavenly planets to come and cook for the Ayodhya people from Ayodhya and to Bharata. And he offered them the best what he could imagine. So Shabari, in the forest, whatever she collected in the forest, because she didn't know anything about Ramachandra, she collected all the fruits from the forest, bitten them and tasted them to see if they were okay to offer, and then handed over to Ramachandra. Ramachandra happily ate that. So, similarly, gopis, out of their love for Krishna, that in different occasions, they have actually kissed Krishna, and in that process the saliva from gopis has gone into Krishna's mouth, and how Krishna was pleased with that. Equally, the Brahmanas' wives, they brought prasadam cooked and gave it to Krishna. Krishna has accepted all of that. Vilumangalam says to Krishna, what pleases you, nobody knows. Nobody knows what pleases Krishna. Therefore, please accept my this composition, he says. Krishna Ganamadam. And that is how he says there. So, what will please Krishna is very difficult to say. Very difficult to say. A poor devotee who had nothing to offer to Krishna, while he was going to the temple, he collected some flowers and a little these red fruits from that, and taken it to the temple and offered it to Krishna, saying that this is all what I have nothing else. The next day or so, a local king offered an elephant to Krishna. And when you offer an elephant, normally they put a huge blanket, on top of that a white cloth, and on top of that the elephant sits. It so happened that when the elephant was sat on top of the blanket, and all the rituals involved with that were all conducted, and the elephant was offered to the deity, they went home, and that night the royal family was in serious trouble with all their health. All the royal family members felt extremely unhappy. And they decided, they could not understand that they have offered the best elephant they could offer to the deity, and this is the result of that. So the next day, they contacted the astrologers and discussed with them why this situation has happened. So the astrologers told them that you have done something that is not very pleasant. Krishna is not pleased with that. And it is eventually they found out the reason was that one of these little red fruits, what the other devotees have brought, it was lying underneath the blanket. So when the elephant sat on that, it was broken. So that night, in the dreams, Krishna has spoken to them that you have destroyed my little fruit and I am not pleased with that. So what pleases Krishna? Nobody knows. Nobody knows that. So here also you can see that all these things that is indicating to us that it is difficult to understand what pleases Krishna. What pleases Krishna? So, so that is why he mentions here. Savai pumsam paro dharmam yadho bhakti rathokshache ahaituki apratihada yayalma samprasidati. See how he left that verse in that way. Without giving a very precise answer, he says, Savai pumsam paro dharmam yadho bhakti rathokshache. One that will create bhakti in the heart, and ahaituki apratihada, and that bhakti which is without any cause behind it, and which is uninterrupted, if that kind of pure bhakti develops in a heart, by which yayalma suprasidati, that may please Krishna. So that is the most important thing, that what we do is not the important thing, what pleases Krishna is the most important thing. What we do is not the important thing, what pleases Krishna is the most important thing. And it is difficult to know what pleases Krishna. What pleases Krishna? So, but in order to understand a little bit, Sudha Goswami says there, to make it a little bit more clearer, dharma sonishtida pumsam vishwaksena kathasuyel nolpadayed yadiratim shramayevahi kevalam. That if you have executed all dharmam, dharmam means whatever that has come with us while we were given a body here, we are supposed to follow a certain dharmam in this world, isn't it? And that dharmam, that is why smritis were written. It's come from the smriti. Smriti tells us how we should live in this world. A lot of instructions as far as our living is concerned here. That is what smriti does. So, dharma swanishtida pumsam. And if you execute your life in such a way, dharma swanishtida pumsam vishwaksena katha suyel. even if you have executed everything perfectly as per the injunctions of the Smriti, if it has not developed bhakti in the heart, if it has not developed bhakti in the heart, then all of that is waste of time. Even if you have followed all the rules and regulations, even if you have done everything as per the Shastra in life, because this is meant to the society which is supposed to live based on the Shastra. So even if you have done everything properly and precisely as instructed by the Shastra, but if it has not eventually developed bhakti in the heart, then Bhagavatam is saying, Shramai evahi kevalam, it is a completely waste of time. Completely waste of time. That they give the example like when you grind the paddy from inside the rice grains comes, isn't it? But if you take the skin out and if you keep on pounding that, nothing will come out from that. Already the grain is gone from there. So all dharmam and all religious principles also, anushtanam, everything, if it has not developed bhakti in the heart, then that is a loss. That's a disappointment. So, whatever that creates bhakti in the heart for Krishna, that is the greatest dharma. That is what the explanation in that verse. Dharma sunushtida pumsam vishvaksena kathasuyan nolpadaya yadi yadim shramayevahi kevalam. And that is how he begins that. That's why you can see the next verses. Vasudeve Bhagavati Bhakti Yoga Prayojita Janayatyashu Vairagyam Jnanam Chayada Haidugam Dharmasya Abhavargasya Arthurthayova Kalpade. This second chapter is an important chapter because of its the explanation to this attachment, bhakti developed, how bhakti develops in the heart. So, to give a little bit more clarity on that, he says here, when we are talking bhakti, what does that mean? It means that normally in life, in our material life here, we have attachment to home, family life, and excessive happiness trying to draw from that. That means, in simple terms, Shabdam, Sparsham, Rupam, Rasam, Gandham. Sound, touch, form, taste and smell. This is our daily life, isn't it? These five things functioning all the time, five senses. That's our daily life. And when these five things are going on and it's bringing some pleasure from the sense objects, we feel life is good. We feel that life is good, isn't it? We want to see good things. We want to hear good music. And we want to touch nice things. We want to taste good things. All these things. So basically our time is occupied with these five things throughout life. So, in order to acquire these five kinds of happiness, we devote our time in family life. So, a jiva or a living entity in that state, if he develops some desire to hear about Krishna, that's a big change in him. If it happens. Out of billions and billions of living entities, they're all busy with these five things. There's nothing else happening there. Is it not? Sound, touch, smell, taste and Shabda Sparsha Rupa Rasa Gandham. These five things. This is our life in this world. All living beings in this world are busy with this. Nothing else. So among them, if somebody feels a desire that this itself is not sufficient, I need something higher than this. And some desire builds up inside to hear about Krishna, then that Janmandara Bhavel Punyam Dha Bhagavadam Labhed. That is what Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said about that. So only if there is some pious piety to a person's credit, he will feel that desire First thing is not that, oh, he wants to desire. That's not how it happens. That's not how it happens. That, oh, I want to hear this, I want to hear. Because first thing what happens is, he feels a certain amount of renunciation from home, detachment from home. That's the beginning. Initially, it doesn't happen straight away. I want to hear about Krishna. But we don't know about Krishna, isn't it? But after living at home for many, many years in this way, satisfying these five senses, one day somebody starts feeling, I had enough. It's not getting me anywhere. So, if a thought develops like that, so you start thinking, I have been working so hard, acquired so much wealth, what now? What else I have got to get here? And I purchased so much land and properties, everything. And sometime it happens to people's mind, it's not making any sense of this life. I know it is very difficult for that thought to come first, but sometime it can come. It can come. So, in that way, if a slight vairagyam comes, a little bit of detachment comes, it is then that the inquiry begins. That's how this inquiry begins. It is then that one starts developing some interest in spiritual life, and you may feel some desire to go to some holy places, or listening to some topics related to spiritual life. All this happens only when there is a very slight detachment or slight renunciation builds up inside. So, it is in that situation when you get an opportunity to go to holy places and associate with holy people who are engaged in spiritual life, there is a possibility that you may get an opportunity to see the people who are engaged in spiritual life. That's where you get to meet. You won't meet them otherwise. Possibility is very little. So, it is from them that you start slowly accepting that there is higher purpose in life, and that for that life you hear about Krishna's glories in that way. So when you hear like that if he has happened, he got that opportunity to hear like that, then that jiva, that living entity, the chances of him going back to his mundane life will be very difficult for him to go back. Because Krishna's glories and hearing about Krishna from the right source, chanting the holy name, all these things will strengthen that vairagyam inside. From that day onwards, if he has got that opportunity to hear like that, then it will be very difficult for him to go back to his old life. So, this is the only way to go up in spiritual life. So, so Krishna, who is present in everyone's heart as Antaryami, and who is present everywhere, if we can develop some connection with him through satsangam, then you can say that his life is going in the right direction. Going in the right direction. Instead, for silly things in this world, or for the sake of money or name or fame, and go after all kinds of different deities who are more in the Rajogunam or in the Tamogunam, and worshipping them to fulfill different material desires, all this is are not taking him the right direction. The only thing that taking the right direction is when you get to see devotees talking about Krishna and glories of Krishna and developing with vairagyam, he comes to Srimad Bhagavatam and start hearing Srimad Bhagavatam. At that time you will see that in a natural way that person is in the right track. But everybody won't come like that. You can see among the many, many millions who go to the temples or other places of worship, they are not going with this mode. They are going there because in their heart they have different desires, fulfillment of those desires. And to fulfill those desires, sometimes they worship different deities which are in the Rajogunam or Tamogunam. And in that way, they start worshipping him. But even if they worship in that form, what we have to understand is that God is only one. There's only one personality, supreme personality. But due to the tamogunam in us, or rajogunam in us, we are approaching him and put that tamogunam, rajogunam on him. What is inside us? That is why all different incarnations and all other different forms also, all of them is not in mode of ignorance or passion. What is happening is, due to the passion and ignorance in us, we go and put this cloth on him, of our ignorance and passion on him. That is why that worship becomes in the Rajogunam or Tamogunam. So, there's only one Atma present everywhere. In different forms it may be, but that is always beyond the three modes of material nature. But due to our modes of nature, we put on this cloth on top of that form, and we were, that is how our process of worship changes at that time. That's why certain worship of certain deities you see in the mode of passion, in the mode of ignorance. It's due to the lack of, due to the presence of the lower modes in them. That's why it is happening. So, but God is one. It is the same Atma who is present everywhere, or Brahma, or Krishna, if you want to say it that way. So, why is that we look at them, that forms, through tamogunam and through rajogunam? The only reason for that is we are not pure inside. Suppose I have a lot of rajogunam in me, my process of worship will also be rajasic. If I have tamogunam in me, my process of worship will be tamasic. That is why in the Vedic system, you see different process of worship for different deities. Certain people have certain way, amazing way they worship the deities. Is it not? Why is that? Because of the lack of purity inside. If there is purity inside, they won't worship that way. So, if some people have desire for a lot of wealth or position in this world and all kinds of desires, but not bhakti. All kinds of desires inside. And if you hear Bhagavatam with these desires inside, then Krishna is saying here that if you are hearing Bhagavatam, in course of time, your sankalpam will change. Initially you have come to Bhagavatam with some desires inside, or you approach Krishna with some desires inside. But desires will eventually go away. So, after saying that, there is no higher dharmam, he says in this chapter, that there is no higher dharmam than hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, and if one is able to hear them properly, then that life can be successful. So, then what is the necessary cause of appearance of Krishna here? And that is why Avatara Leela, that means different pastimes in different incarnations, that's going to be spoken now. One thing you will say here, why all these different incarnations? The answer is, we don't know. Why Krishna has appeared in that form? We don't know. Because there is some speciality about this Krishna's appearance. That is it. That is what this Srimad Bhagavatam is trying to point out to us. Krishna's appearance is very, very special. It is a completely different style. And if one does not see perfection in Krishna's appearance is considered to be perfect. Purnam, Paripurnam, Paripurnatamam. Paripurnatamam means completely perfect in all aspects. That when the rishis ask this question, then he says to them that if you do not see this perfection in Krishna's appearance, whatever he may do, it will never be perfect. It will never be perfect without seeing this perfection in Krishna. Not to think of Krishna like any other form. Krishna's appearance, it is a special appearance. It is more, that is what is going to be spoken in the next chapter, different incarnations. So that was the main point they wanted to confirm in this chapter, that that asau gunamayer bhaver bhutasu, if you see that second chapter finishing like that, that Krishna's appearance is special. And if you do not understand that Krishna's special position, then it is be very difficult to understand Bhagavatam. Aso gunamayer bhaver bhuta sushmendriyal vi so nirmadeshu nirveshto bhukte bhudeshu tal gunan bhavayatesha sattvena lokanvai loka bhavana leelavataranurado devatiriyan naradishu. Saying that the second chapter is finished, and in the third chapter he says all about the incarnations. So, in the second chapter, Sridhara Swami has compiled it and brought out this important point of Krishna's position. Who is Krishna? In the third chapter, he says, Avatara Katha Prasne Tridiye Uttarabhidam Purushad Avataroktya Tattal Charitra Varmane. He says here in this third chapter, Krishna's Avatara Leela, different incarnations are spoken. And in the last verse in this third chapter, the sixth question is also answered. Sixth question is also answered, he says. Third chapter, Sutta Vacha. Jagrihe Paurisham Rupam Bhagavan Mahada Adivi Sambhudam Shodashagala Ado Logasisrakshaya Yasya Ambasishaya Nansya Yoga Nidra Mitanvada Nabi Kradambuja Adasil Brahma Vishwasrajam Pati Yasya Vayam Samstani Kalpido Loga Vistara Tadvai Bhagavado Rubam Vishuddham Satyamurchidam Pashyandyado Rubam Adabrajakshusha Sahasrabado Rubujanana Adbhudam Sahasram Urdha Shravanakshi Nasiyam Sahasram Oil Ambera Kundalo Lessel Edanana Vadaranam Nidhanam Bijam Ubayam Yasyam Sham Sham She Yasyam Sham She Nasrijande Devadiryang Naradeyam Sa eva bhagavam deva kaumaram sargam astida chachara duscharam brahma brahmajarya makhandidam didi yamdu bhava yasya rasadalagada mahim udharishan nubadate yatnyesha saugaram vabu tridiyam shi sargam ja devarshito vetyasa tandram sattuta majashta naishkarmyam karmanam yata turiye dharmagala sarge nara narayana rishi budol moba ubashamo vedam agaro duscharam tava panchamakabilo nama Siddhesha Kala Viprudam Provaja Asuraya Sankhyam Tatugrama Vinirnayam Shashte Atreya Pratyatvam Vrita Prapto Anasuyaya Anvitshiki Alarkaya Pratlada Dibya Ujivan Tadasatam Agutyam Drujay Rajnubhya Jayada Sayamadhi Isuragane Apal Swayam Bhuvandaram Ashtamime Iru Devi Amdu Nabher Jadam Urukrama Darshen Varmadhiranam Sarvashrama Namaskradam Rishimi Yajdo Bhajin Omambartimam Bhu Dugdhem Aushadivir Vipra Senayam Saushatama Yubam Sajagrahe Malsam Jakshashodhadi Samplame Navyaropi Mahimayamapal Vaivasudam Manum Sura Surana Mudhadim Madhrada Mandara Chalam Dandre Kamataru Vena Prashtam Egadashe Vibhu Danyun Daram Duadashamam Trayodashamam Evacha Apayel Surana Nyan Mohinya Mohayan Sriya Chaturdasham Narasimham Vibradaitiendram Urjidam Dadaharagaja Rosha Seragam Karagradhyada Panjadashama Amaragam Krutua Ghadadhuram Bhale Padatrayam Yachamana Pratyadil Sistrivishtavam Avadare Shodashame Pashin Brahmadruhom Rupan Trisapta Krutua Kubido Nikshatra Magaran Mahim Tada Sapta Dasheja the Satyavatyam Parasharal Chakrai Vedadaro Shagadrushtam Umsolpamedasa Naradevatam Avandam Suragara Chigirshaya Samutta Nigrahadini Chakrai Viryanyada Param Egonavim Shayam Shadime Brishtishu Prapijan Mani Ramakrishna Vidibhu Bhagavan Harad Bharam Tadakalo Sambravurte Samohai Surad Visham Budhunam Janasa Kigadeshu Bhavishadi Adhaso Yugasandhyayam Dasi Prayashu Rajasu
താജസൂചനിതാ വിഷ്ണുയശസോനാമ്നാ കൽക്കരജഗൽപതി അവതാരാഹ്യ സംഖ്യായ ഹരേ സത്വനിധേർ ദ്വിജാഹ യദാവിദാസന കുല്യാ സരസസ്യ സഹസ്രശ ഋഷയോ മനവോ ദേവാദേവ മനുപുത്ര മഹൌജസാ കലാ സർവേ ഹരേരേവ സപ്രജാപതയസ്തഥാ ഏതേ ച അംശകലപുംസ കൃഷ്ണസ്തു ഭഗവാൻ സ്വയം ഇന്ദ്രാരി വ്യാകുലം ലോകം നടയന്തി യുഗേ യുഗേ ജന്മഗുഹ്യം ഭഗവതോ ഏതൽ പ്രയതോ നരാസായം ഭ്രാതർഗ്രൻ ഭക്ത്യാ ദുഃഖഗ്രാമാദ് വിമുച്യതേ ഏതദ്രൂപം ഭഗവതോ അരൂപസജിതാത്മന മായാഗുണൈർവിരചിതം മഹദാദിപിരാത്മനി യഥാ നവസി മേഘാഘൗ രേണുർഗാ പാർത്ഥിവോ നിലേ ഏവം ദൃശ്യദൃശ്യത്വമാരോപി നവബുദ്ധിഭി അത പരം യഥവ്യക്തം അവിയുടെ ഗുണവ്യൂഹിതം അദൃഷ്ടാശ്രിതവസ്തിത്വ സജീവോയൽ പുനർഭവ യത്രമേ സൻസദ്രൂപേ പ്രദർശ്യത്തെ സുസംവിത അവിദ്യയാത്മനികൃതേ ഇതൽ ബ്രഹ്മദർശനം യദ്ദേശോ വരദാദേവി മായാ വൈശാരദീ മതി സമ്പന്നമേവേതി വിദുർ മഹിം നിസ്വേ മഹീയതേ ഏവം ജന്മാനി കർമാണി അകർത്തു അജനസ്യ ച വർണയന്തി സ്മകവയോ വേദഗുഹ്യാനി ഹൃൽപദേ സ വാ ഇതം വിഷമമോഖലീല സൃജത്യവത്യത്തി ന സജതേസ്മിൻ ഭൂതേഷു ചാന്തർഹിതം ആത്മതന്ത്രം ഷാഡ്വർഗികം ജിഗ്രതി ഷൽഗുണേശ ഭഗവന്തമിത്തംയദ്വാസുദേവഖിലോകനാഥേകുർവന്തിസർവാത്മഭാവമാത്മഭാവംനയത്രപോയപരിവർത്തമുഗ്ര ഇതം ഭാഗവതം നാമം പുരാണം ബ്രഹ്മസംഹിതം ഉത്തമശ്ലോകയുതം ചകാരഭഗവാൻ ഋഷി നിശ്രേയസായലോകസ്യധന്യം സ്വസ്തേനം മഹൽ തദിതം ഗ്രഹയാമാസ്താസ്തം ആത്മവദാംബരം സർവവേദിതിഹാസാനാം സാരം സാരം സമുദ്രതം സതു സംശ്രാവയാമാസ മഹാരാജം പരീക്ഷിതം പ്രായോപവിഷ്ടം ഗംഗായാം പരീതം പരമർഷിഭി കൃഷ്ണേ സദാമോപകരി ധർമ്മജ്ഞാനാദിഭി സഹ കലോ നഷ്ടദൃശാമേഷ പുരാണാർക്കോധുനോദിത തത്ര കീർത്തയതോ വിപ്രാവിപ്രേർഷേർഭുരിതേജസ അഹം ജാതികമം തത്ര നിവിഷ്ടസദനുഗ്രഹാൽ സോഹം അശ്രാവയിഷ്യാമി യഥാതീതം യഥാമതി ശ്രീമദ്ഭാഗവതേ മഹാപുരാണേ പ്രഥമസ്കന്ധേന വിഷയോപാഖ്യാനി തൃതീയോധ്യായ സർവത്ര ഗോവിന്ദനാമ സങ്കീർത്തനം ഗോവിന്ദ ഗോവിന്ദ ഫസ്റ്റ് ക്വസ്റ്റ്യൻ ഈസ് ദ ഋഷീസ് ആർ ആസ്കിംഗ് ദിസ് ക്വസ്റ്റ്യൻ What are Krishna's different incarnations? So, this chapter is particularly was used for that purpose, to explain the different incarnations. Mainly, 24 incarnations are spoken in this chapter. The 10 incarnations, Malsyam, fish, tortoise, boar, and onwards. Then, Narada Maharshi is Krishna's incarnation. Vedavyas is Krishna's incarnation. The four Kumaras are Krishna's incarnations. Dattatreya Maharshi, they are all Krishna's incarnations. So these incarnations are categorized into different types of incarnations. Amshavadaram, Aveshavadaram, Kalavadaram, Purnavadaram, Purnatamavadaram. In this way, you will see different categories of incarnations. So in this way, if you look at things, everything what you find in this creation is Krishna's incarnation. Everybody is Krishna's incarnation. Because in the creation, there is nothing here except Krishna. That's the important thing to understand. When we talk about these 10 incarnations, we have to always remember that there are 10 major incarnations which has appeared in this world for some purpose. But strictly speaking, every living entity here is Krishna's incarnation. From the spiritual platform, because it's Krishna who is present in that form, in that body, keeping that body going, isn't it? Jiva on its own cannot survive, is it? What is Jiva? Jiva is nothing. Jiva is nothing but a false ego. But the Atma behind it, the soul, who is present in every living being, is Krishna. So it's also Krishna's incarnations, like fish, tortoise, boar, half man, half lion, and all other. So, But they are the important incarnations spoken, the major 10. But in this last chapter, you see there are 24 incarnations spoken. That includes Dattatreya, Sanaga, Sanadana, Sanatha, Sanat Kumara, four Kumaras, Vedavyasa Maharshi, Srinarada Maharshi, they are all included as Krishna's incarnations. So, important point is that the purpose of all incarnations to make us aware that there's only Krishna here. There's nothing else.
That's only Krishna. Krishna means, when we say Krishna, Krishna means referring to the Atma. That's all present here. There's nothing else. Actually, none of us is not this body which is going to be burned one day when we die, isn't it? In reality, from Krishna's point of view, we are not this body. We are only the Atma within, which is Krishna's part and parcel. So, Brahmaivaham, Brahmaivaham, Brahmaiva Bhavati. And this experience, unfortunately, due to our avidya or ajnanam in us, at this moment in time, due to our identification with the body, we have lost that realization who we are. We have lost that. So, so suddenly when we say that everyone is Krishna's incarnation, we find that very difficult to understand. I am an incarnation of Krishna. If you say that, people will ask, how can you? How is that possible? So many things you can say, but the point is that initially, to understand Krishna, first we have to see Krishna's presence in certain famous or important places or important people, personalities. So wherever you see this potency in a big way, there you recognize Krishna's presence first. So, and that is how these 10 incarnations have become important. Because in all the 10 incarnations, Krishna has done certain activities which are beyond our capacity, isn't it? Both as fish, tortoise, boar, malsim, gurum, varaham, nasimham, vamanamurti, and Parashuram, Ramachandra, Balaram, and all these different incarnations, he has conducted some activities which are beyond our capacity. So and that is why these 10 incarnations have become prominent. That's all it is. It's become prominent. So, for example, Krishna took the form of a fish first, isn't it? Fish means always in the water. And not satisfied because of that, Krishna decided to change. And therefore, he has moved a step further. And every time, it's progressive in that sense, that he tried as a tortoise later. Never satisfied with that. And again changed his form. He felt that it was not good enough. First of all, he felt the fish was not good enough. Then he felt the tortoise was not good enough. Then he moved on to another state. For initially only in the water, but then only within water as well as in the land. Then Kurmam, Varaham, he felt that he has to be in the land and the form of an animal. So Kurmam, is tortoise is the one for both land as water as well as the land. Then he moved on to Varaham only in the land. And then Krishna felt, I'm not looking good in that Varaha form also. Sometimes people feel that how do we worship this Varaha form? It looks so ugly, isn't it? Varaha means poor. The very appearance itself, it's not very pleasing to us, but people worship them. So Krishna felt that it was not beauty enough, so therefore he moved into the next one, Narasimha incarnation, Narasimha. So half man, half lion, he has come to that stage where half a lion and half man, and the Narasimha form is that, half man, half lion. Then he developed a little bit more pure human form he has taken, that is Parashuram, Parashuram incarnation. Dattatreya, all these are 24 avatarams are spoken there, they all come like that. But they are all good, but that was not satisfying to Krishna, because those incarnations we can't follow. This was the difficulty. Malsim, Kurmam, Varaham, Narasimham and all, we can only stand away from that distance, the distance, and glorify. Beyond that, we can't have any relationship with that forms, with those forms, including Parashurama's appearance. So then Krishna realized that human species also, in order for them to develop any relationship with Krishna, it has to have a form that will develop a feeling in our heart, some connection with them. So, you can see here, their activities also we can't follow. None of them. Fish incarnation we can't follow, the activities. We can't do it and we can't follow it either. Tortoise, same thing. Varaham, same thing. And Narasimha also same thing. We can't follow them. It is so to say that, what do we say in our normal life? we'll say it's an ideal example for us. Role model. None of these incarnations are role model for us. Isn't it? You can see that. What will you learn from fish? What will you learn from tortoise? Varaham, boar, Narasimham. All of them are appeared for certain reasons and then disappeared from here. Now, after leaving all these different forms, the first incarnation of form is Parashuram's form. Parashuram also, difficult to follow him. He was an amazing personality, wasn't it? That as soon as father said to him, Jamanagni told him, immediately what did he do? Pulled out the sword and cut the mother's throat. So there also you see the problem. He cannot be a role model. Suppose my father tells me, kill your mother. It will be difficult, isn't it? So even there, you can see there those activities are impossible for us to take it in our life. Parashuram has done that, so let me also do the same thing. If I start doing that, then I'll end up in prison. So, that's not possible. So, it is at that stage that further incarnations became necessary. Do not get stuck with these 10 only, because 10 are there only because of their special nature, that they have a lot to communicate to this world, therefore these 10. Otherwise it is unlimited, and we have to start from somewhere to recognize Krishna's presence in this world. So therefore these 10 were chosen, and on a little bit more, on a expanded form, the 24 were spoken. So therefore, again Krishna decided that he has to change himself to suit us, knowing well our situation. And that is how Ramachandra appeared, Balaram appeared, and all these appearances have come. It's important to know this, because otherwise you can just read the books and keep saying that Krishna's appeared in these 10 different forms, but we don't understand why. But the reason is this, that every incarnation when it appears, there has a purpose behind it. When the purpose is not fulfilled, then Krishna comes again. And that is how it has happened like this, that even including Parashuram's appearance was not possible for ordinary people to connect with. Because their activities are such. If you look into their activities, you can see that it's beyond a human being's capacity. But only thing is, Krishna felt after Lord Ramachandra has come, that he felt that there was no necessity for another appearance. When Lord Ramachandra appeared, this was the mood. Krishna's mood was, there was no need to come again in another form, because it was so good. That form. Ramachandra's form was so good. You will see in the Bhagavad, Matyavadarasyaha Matyashikshanam. Sudev Goswami says there. Only one reason, to instruct the human species. Martyavadarasiha Martishanam. In the fifth canto you will see the statement. So that incarnation was so good that you couldn't find any fault in that. It was so perfect. Which one? Ramachandra's appearance. So So that is why Valmiki asked Narada Maharshi, if there is one person who has all the qualities and you can't find even the slightest fault in someone, and is there a person like that, and who is that person? He should have no fault in him, and he should have all the qualities in him. And if there is somebody like that, who is that? Narada Maharshi said Ramachandra. Ramachandra was the answer. So, if it is like that, then why Krishna came with another incarnation? The reason is, after Krishna finished this Ramachandra's appearance, and when he went back to the spiritual world, he thought about this, and no more incarnations are required. And staying in Vaikuntham, he looked at us. And he saw that even Ramavadaram also has not done very much with us. It didn't work. Even though Ramachandra had all the transcendental qualities, everything perfect in all levels, Krishna thought that as Ramachandra, it will have its impact on us, and he may not have to come here again. It was in that understanding he went back to Vaikuntham, Vaikuntha planet, to his planet. After going back and he looked at us from there, and he realized that this lot will never change. It's too difficult to change this group here. So it was at that time that Krishna understood that we can't even follow Ramachandra. We can't even follow Ramachandra. Because Ramachandra's qualities, when discussed, what is that? Ramachandra is glorified for one reason, that Dasharatha has said something. Dasharatha hasn't told Ramachandra. Dasharatha thought something, but understanding that this is what the father wants, the son has decided to execute that plan. To that extent, he was he accepted the position of Dasharatha as his father, and that surrender and the role he played as a father, as a husband, as a brother, and as a son. In all the roles, he shined very well. Exemplary role he played. Who? Ramachandra. First as a son. That means even Dasharatha not asking him to go to forest, knowing well that Dasharatha has taken a vow to make it true, he has to go. He was willing to make that sacrifice for him. So, that means knowing this mood of Dasharatha and able to act on that without being told is the quality of that great son as Ramachandra is. Similarly, you will see that in all other roles he has played, as husband, as a father, everything. That is why in the Srimad Bhagavatam, in the 11th canto, Shuka Brahmarshi pays obeisances to two forms there. And there what does he say about Ramachandra? Tektva sudupsida surepsida raja lakshmim dharmishta maja vajasa yadagad aranyam mayamragam deidayipsida manvadhaval vande mahapurushate charanaravindam. There is a verse in the 11th canto. You can see two verses, one next to each other, to tell us that this personality Ramachandra, tektva sudupsida surepsida rajalakshmi, to throw away Ayodhya's opulence like that and to walk away from there, from that opulence, it was not easy for anybody to do that. That's what he's saying. Tektva sudupsida surepsida rajalakshmi dharmeshta arya vajasa yadagadharanyam. In order to keep Dasharatha's words, King Dasharatha's words, to honor his words, yadagadharanyam decided to go to the forest. Mayamrugam deida yipsidam anvadaval vande mahabhirshade charanaravindam, and decided to Marija, who came there just like a deer and tried to distract him and to steal Sita Devi away from there, and who chased him like that. Mayamragam Daidayipsidam Anyodhaval. To that Supreme Personality, I pay my obeisances, says Shobhramarshi in the Bhagavadam. So, here, you can see here that the opulence that was present in Ayodhya at that time, even the demigods and the heavenly planets, they were desiring to have that. But without, for the sake of father, for Dasharatha's words, Ramachandra decided to go to the forest. And when Ramachandra went to the forest, participating in that happiness and distress, Sita Devi followed him to the forest. So you see that standard, their standard, what they set up. Imagine that if Ramachandra has appeared today, what would have happened? And today's Ramachandra, if he goes to the forest, what will Sita Devi tell him? Do you see that difference in that, in their way of thinking, our way of thinking? Is it not? So, if Ramachandra goes to, today's Ramachandra goes to the forest, today Sita Devi will tell him, what will he say, what she say to him? Even if you don't come back, I don't mind. Well, come back when you feel like. But that is the difference, that relationship between Sita Devi and Ramachandra is indicating to us what state of culture they had in them, in their life. In their life. So, you can see here, the principles of Ramayanam is very, very high, extremely high, and it is impossible for this society today to take it on board. When you read Ramayanam, that is the conclusion you will get. What Ramachandra did, what Sita Devi did, how the brothers acted each other. Today in this world, look at brothers for example. More or less you can say, almost all relationships will break up by the end of the life. Initially it may have started in a nice way. Brothers will say, oh, they are all my brothers, they are my sisters, this, that and the other. As you grow up, as you get married and as you have children, you will see how all these relationships turns in a completely different directions. Then there is no brother, there is no sister. It's all for marriages and birthdays. Everything is over then. It all develops into very difficult, hardly you could find anything. The relationship what Bharata and Shatrughna had with Lakshmana and Ramachandra, and how the four brothers, what sort of relationship they had. Similarly, relationship with Ramachandra and Sita Devi. Similarly, the relationship with Ramachandra and Dasharatha and Kausalya and Kaikeyi. All these relationships, if you study, you will find that it is impossible for the human society today even to dream of it. That level of relationship. It will never happen here. It will not happen here. It is at that time that that Krishna decided, understood that this requires a little different approach. That is why Krishnastu Bhagavan Swayam. He has to come on his own. And from this you can understand why Krishna Avadaram or Krishna's appearance has become necessary. As far as killing Kamsa is concerned or killing the Kshatriyas are concerned, Krishna doesn't have to come here. That's not the whole purpose of coming here. That he can manage it sitting there itself where he is in Golokam or Vaikuntham. From there he can manage killing Kamsa or killing Ravana. That's not important thing. But every time when they appear here, the purpose is they want to show us an ideal life, a proper life, principle life, dharmic life, religious life. And you can see when you study the different incarnations, how they stuck to dharma. Dharma was their main principle, isn't it? If you look at Prithu Maharaj, Prithu is also an incarnation of Krishna, is it not? So Prithu's, when you keep on looking at, you will see in different incarnations, what they have got to tell to the world, to tell us something. They have got a message to tell us. So when it came to Ramachandra's appearance, Krishna understood that this form also hasn't done what it was meant to do, the human society is not able to take it on board. And that is why he said there that Krishnavataram or Krishna's coming down is that the only intention was that somehow or the other get us attracted to him and get us out from here. Get us out from here. So, sometimes it is spoken also like that Krishna is lying, say in Vaikuntha, Mahavishnu is lying on the Adishesha, isn't it? Adishesha. He has nothing to do there, no work. And the Adishesha is lying on the ocean of milk. And Mahalakshmi is at the feet, massaging the feet. And when you look at that, when you look at that photograph and the picture, you think, how can anybody like this? That sleeping all the time. We can't even sleep more than 6-8 hours. We want to do something then, isn't it? Mahavishnu is able to stay like this for so many hours, so many days and years in that way. So, so if he wants to get up from there, he can't get up also, because from there's a lotus flower coming from there, from the navel, from the navel, isn't it? And in that navel, there's a lotus flower, the stem is coming out, and there is a lotus flower. And Brahma is sitting there. So if he gets up, Brahma will fall from there. So all these problems are there, is it not? Now you can read Bhagavatam thinking, accepting it without questioning anything, why all this is spoken in this way, is it not? But then it will stay like that, it won't go further than that. But if you want to understand these explanations to this, it comes in the Bhagavatam later. So if he gets up, Vishnu gets up, Brahma will fall from the lotus flower. So so therefore Krishna, Vishnu decided, I will sit here and sleep and let him sit there in the lotus flower. So it is then that a discussion started, why nobody is coming from here to Vaikuntham? Krishna is talking to Vishnu, is talking to Brahma. So many incarnations Krishna has tried, it hasn't worked. So nobody is getting back to Vaikuntham. Everyone is still here in this world. So so therefore, incarnations are become necessary, and it is for that reason only that Krishna created this desire that Sanaka, for Kumaras they felt the need to go and visit him. The four Kumaras felt the need to go and visit him. And when they got there, they got upset. Is it not? They got upset. So, because of that, what happened? We got four incarnations from that. Krishna created this desire in the Kumaras' heart to come to Vaikuntham and to look at there. And because of that, when they got there, they got upset with Jaya and Vijaya. And because they got upset with Jaya and Vijaya, we got four incarnations from that. Which are they? Varaham, Narasimham, Ramachandra and Krishna. The four incarnations have happened because of upsetting the four Kumaras. So upsetting the four Kumaras. That's how it began. The whole series began. So, when Krishna's appearance happened, Vedavyasa Maharshi says there that Triyugam means that only in this Triyugam he will appear, the fourth one he won't appear. He didn't mention that about the fourth appearance. Although in the other Puranams we take it that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's appearance for a different reason. But major incarnations when spoken, with Krishnavataram it is over. It is over. So, because by Krishna's appearance, the purpose has been served. So, this Krishnavataram, Krishna's appearance, is for this purpose, that somehow or the other, attract the human species towards liberation and to free themselves from this material existence. So, So Krishnavadaram's purpose is this.
What he mentions there, Edeja Amshagala Pumsam Krishnastu Bhagavan Swayam.
Indrari Vyagulam Logam Mudayandi Yuge Yuge. Then if you keep on reading that, you will see that Savaidam Vishvamo Khalila. So every incarnation is different pastimes. Leela happens. What was the purpose of the pastime? All is only one thing, that somehow or the other, the conditioned soul or jiva who is suffering here gives him an opportunity for them to escape from here. That was the purpose behind it. So after saying that, Kalau Dashtadrishamesha Puranarkodh Nodida Tatra Kirtayado Vipra Viparsher Buri Devjasa. And you will see in the third chapter, just before finishing, 2-3 verses before, Prayobavishtam Gangayam Paridam Paramarshibi Krishne Sudhamobagade Dharma Jnanadibi Saha Sarvavedyadihasanam Saram Saram Samudram Sadhu Samashraya Masa Maharajam Parikshidam. And aham jadya ramam tatra nivishta sadanugrihal soham vashravishyami yathadhitam yathamati. Sudha Goswami is saying there that I have explained these 24 incarnations, major incarnations, and I will explain the purpose of all these incarnations in different stages according to my capacity, what I have understood from Sukadeva Goswami. Yathadhitam Yathamati, he says, Yathaditam Yathamati. According to my capacity, I will explain that to you. He says like that. So we'll have a short break and continue.
Cheto darpanam arjanam vaumaha davagni nirvapanam shreyakaidava chandriga vidaranam vidyavadu jivanam anandam budivardhanam pradivada purna amrita swadhanam Sarvatma Savanam Param Vijayade Shri Krishna Sankirtanam Namnamakari Bahudani Jasarva Shakti Tatrarpidani Vidasvaranena Kala Edadrishita Vakrapa Bhagavan Mamabi Durdaiva Midrishamiha Janinanuragaha Tranarabi Shunichena Karorabi Sahishtuna Amadina Manadena Kruthaniya Sadahari Najanam Nasundari Vajagadisha Kamaye Mama Janmani Janmani Shri Bhavadar Bhaktirahi Duhitvai Ayi Nandadanu Jagingaram Padidamam Vishami Bhavambudo Kabayata Vapada Pangaja Siddha Duli Sadrasham Vichindayam Mayanam Galada Shudaraya Vadanam Gadgadirudhaya Giram Kulagar Nijiram Gadavabu Tavannama Grahane Bhavishari Yugaidam Nimeshena Chakshusha Pravishaidam Shunyaidam Jagal Sarvam Govinda Vrehe Name Ashleshyava Padaradam Vinashtumam Adarshanam Armahadam Karotuva Yadhatadava Vidadal Vilambada Valprana Natha Astune Evana Pada.
So Krishnavadaram, Krishna's appearance, its purpose, that is what we were discussing in the last chapter. Shukha Brahmarshi mentions there, Sudha Goswami mentions there, that in this appearance, Krishna decided to bring everyone, get attracted to spiritual life. That was a special reason behind being. That in Ramachandra's appearance also, that incarnations, what an ideal personality as he appeared. People found that difficult to relate with. But in Krishna's appearance, that difficulty has gone. Why? You can see that there's nothing that has attracted people more than what you find in the pastimes of Krishna, childhood pastimes particularly. How an ordinary householder's life, how that attraction was built up in the case of gopis, for example. That is why the way, if you look at this way, like Krishna had childhood, Ramchandra also had childhood. is it not? But you don't find the same attraction what you saw in Krishna's childhood, you don't see it in Ramchandra's childhood. Like Krishna had his childhood pastimes with the gopis, with Yashoda Devi and the Maharaj. All that what you read chapter after chapter, all that thing, similar things must have happened in Ramchandra's case also. Why is that? They were not given the same attraction like the way Krishna self. That is the reason why Krishnavataram has a special importance to us. That ordinary people to get attracted, it's easier with Krishna's pastimes than with Ramchandra's pastimes. For ordinary people. Ramchandra was so ideal as a person. His obedience to the parents, as a husband, as a brother. In every way, he was exemplary. But ordinary people find Krishna's childhood pastimes more attractive than even Ramchandra's pastimes. It is difficult to explain that more because Krishna's activities as a child, everything like an ordinary person's life, what has happened. That is why it says that Hridayam abhimushitvam harsha sindhu nyathastvam. Talked about the gopis. Krishna has completely stolen their hearts by his activities. And the gopis are ordinary people in that sense, isn't it? They didn't have any knowledge of the Shastram. They didn't read Bhagavatam. They didn't chant the holy name in the sense that they did not have any particular anushtanam or sadhana in their life. They have not performed any serious study of the Shastram or tapas in that way. When you look at gopis' life, what did the gopis do? They were ordinary people. They sold like any ordinary people in the village. They lived their life like that. But Krishna's childhood attracted to that extent and they became the greatest devotees in this world. Is it not? So, that attracting power, pulling people towards what Krishna had, didn't exist in Ramachandra's time to that extent. People were worshipping Ramachandra, seeing his position as the absolute truth. They have worshipped him. But the relationship what the gopis and the devotees had with Krishna was difficult for in the Ramachandra's, that incarnation of Ramachandra. So, this is why he's saying here, this unique nature of Krishnavataram, Krishna's unique appearance is important because that all the rishis who were present there in the Naimisharanyam, they were keen to hear what is so special about Krishna compared to other incarnations. And hearing Krishna's name and glorifying Krishna and chanting the holy name, there is nothing more appropriate for the age of Kali. Because when you are recommending a medicine to a patient, you have to know the patient's condition also, is it not? Ramachandra's appearance and Ramachandra's pastimes, everything will not have the same impact as Krishna's appearance and Krishna's pastimes for the people of Kali. In Kali Yugam, our nature, our weaknesses and our frame of mind will be more attracted only to the Krishna's pastimes rather than to Ramchandra's pastimes. There is a difference there, very clear difference, that Krishna's attraction is that for our present state in this world, the way we live and the way we conduct our life in this world, Ramachandra is too far for us to think about his position or his glory. We will not be able to anywhere get closer to that. It's too high for standard for us. But look at Krishna's standard. The way Krishna said the standard was such, somehow or the other, even the ordinary people like the gopis and many others, they were attracted by Krishna's activities in this world. So that is why it mentions Hridayam abhimushitva harsha sindhu nyathastvam, that Krishna stole their heart. That's what he did. He stole their heart. And finally what happened? They left everything and gone. Did they not? Gopis left all connections with the world, All connections to the family, friends, brothers, sisters, everything gone for them once for all, simply fell into that attraction for Krishna. So what is the important thing in the Kali Yuga? This is because of the age we are living in. It's not trying to bring one superior higher than the other. That's not the reason. Ramachandra's appearance in Treta Yugam suited the people in Treta Yugam. But Krishna's appearance in the end of Dwapara Yugam, at the end of Dwapara Yugam, is with this one reason, that the people of Kali, who will be of a difficult way, they live here. And what is the greatest dharmam in the Kali Yugam? Kali Yugam is that to hear Srimad Bhagavatam. To hear? That is why Bhagavatam has been written at this stage. Bhagavatam has been compiled. If we cannot be heard, that leads to hear, if we can't read that. But everyone may not be able to read Vedavyasa Maharshi's Bhagavatam, what he originally compiled, isn't it? So, but Prabhupada has written that in such a way that in all languages translated, some or the other, managed to get it through to everybody, those who wants to have some desire to know about Krishna. So we have so many Vedic literature, Ramayanam, Mahabharatam, and Srimad Bhagavatam, and similarly compiled by great devotees also, and Bhagavad Gita. All of these things the rishis have given to us to invigorate us in spiritual life. They have given all these things. But unfortunately we are not feeling any taste for that. So, but what Krishna, what here, Sudha Goswami is saying here, that nothing higher, in Bhagavatam that's the message that's coming through, chanting the holy name and speaking about Krishna all the time. Speaking about Krishna all the time. And as we read and study through Bhagavatam, you will notice that Bhagavatam is not simply stories only. There is much more, deeper messages in that. But as you get involved in the Bhagavatam, you will start noticing those things. So, first thing is, he asked a question, Krishna Praptikaram. That was the question beginning. Then, unless there is Shanti inside, you remember in the Bhagavad Gita also, how many times Krishna has spoken about Shanti. Shanti is the key factor to start in spiritual life, to start with in spiritual life. Unfortunately, we will not understand this because we never experienced Shanti. This is the fact. Unless one has experienced Shanti, he will not know what Shanti means. Suppose somebody is always disturbed inside the mind, and then you are giving him all the books, Shastram, everything. No, go on, take this and read it and become Krishna conscious. How will it happen? The man is not peaceful within himself, and you are trying to force him to make him spiritual or to Krishna conscious. But that is not going to work, because that will be quite a complex thing for that to happen. So, but such people who are in that state, when they are very disturbed, the solution to that is, even if they hear, if they can't read the book, at least if they hear, that will benefit in the age of Kali. This is why Shravanam is given more important than anything else. So, here one important thing is, when we say hearing about Krishna, the rishis noticed an important thing at that time, that the question they have asked is not so simple. The questions the rishis have asked is not so simple. Because if you ask a question, what is the essence of Vedic literature? What is the essence of Vedic literature? Vedavyasa Maharshi himself struggles to come out with a conclusion, firm answer, isn't it? Even if we try to understand something from the Vedic literature, we will never be able to precisely pinpoint and say that this is the message. So, that is the reason this Srimad Bhagavatam, the way it has been created or it has been written, is such that the essence of Vedic literature or the dharma of a living entity, of a one who lives in the age of Kali, how he should develop his life in this world, that is what is reviewed in the Bhagavatam. That is what is reviewed in the Bhagavatam. So the rishis asked Sudha Goswami, how were you able to come to this conclusion that Srimad Bhagavatam is the appropriate shastram for this age of Kali? How did you come to this understanding? Because this is a very serious topic, isn't it? You have to remember this. When you are reading all these things, you should understand the personalities behind it. Shaunaga Rishi is a highly educated person. He is not an ordinary person. His books on the commentaries on the Vedam are well known. There is a book called Shaunaga Shiksha. And those who are studying and reciting Vedam, they study the Shaunaga Rishi's book. Shaunaga Shiksha is studied there. This is not an ordinary person, Shaunaga Rishi. And it is the Shaunaga Rishi asking this question to Sudha Goswami, that how do you say that Srimad Bhagavatam is the right shastram for this age of Kali? And this is a serious subject because people in the age of Kali are like this, like us, fully disturbed and no shanti inside, always scheming one thing or the other and looking for sense gratification. In every level, our condition is pretty awkward, isn't it? Added to that, we have the modern influence of the science and technology and other things, which is also not helping us, actually. It only makes us more negative in spiritual life. So, his answer was, Sudha Goswami says to them, the reply was very appropriate, he says to them, this is not my invention. I didn't invent Srimad Bhagavatam as the sole literature for the Kali Yuga. But what I noticed is, years ago, when Parikshit Maharaj wanted to give up his body, Prayobhavesham it's called, and he went to the Ganga River and he sat there. He sat there. And Shugam Brahmarshi came over and spoke to him, Srimad Bhagavatam to him. Srimad Bhagavatam to him. And by chance I happened to be there. That's how he said. That, and with the Shugam Brahmarshi's permission, 7 days, I also had the good fortune of hearing Bhagavatam from them. And that thing what he has spoken, I am going to repeat that to you, according to my capacity. Yathadidam, yathamati, he says there, isn't it? Why it is spelled like that is, Sudha Goswami is saying, when I say this, it may not have the same result like when Shugha Brahmarshi has spoken to Parikshit. My capacity is limited, he said. But according to my capacity, I will speak. According to my understanding, I will present it to you. And then you can make the judgment over that. So, it was at that time, they asked this question, why did Parikshit give up this body in this way? Why did he do that? And why did Vedavyasa Maharshi write Srimad Bhagavatam? And why did Shugam Brahmarshi, who is already liberated, study Bhagavatam? All these questions came up at that time. This is how the flow of Bhagavatam. There's a lot of things here that when you are reading Bhagavatam, do not read it like a novel or anything. That like in the novel when you read, you will start from where it started, isn't it? But there is a lot behind it, behind the scene that has happened. When Sudha Goswami met with Shaunaga Rishi and others, why did Shaunaga Rishi accept Sudha Goswami to speak Bhagavatam? Although Shaunaga Rishi and the Rishis who were present there, they were more elevated spiritually than Sudha Goswami. So to accept Sudha Goswami to sit there and to speak Bhagavatam, and they were willing to listen to him, that shows that there must be some reason behind it. The reason is this, that when they went, Lord Brahma told them that age of Kali has come, and Kali has its own special nature, that disturbed. Remember what mentioned in the Bhagavatam before? Manda sumanda madayo manda bhagya hubadrudaha. A lot of things you will see there. that the misfortune of the people of Kali. We should never forget that. And we are in that category. Where he says there that the Mandasya Manda Prajnasya, he says in the first chapter itself, Prayena Alpayusha Sabhya Kalau Asmin Yuge Jena Manda Sumanda Madayo Manda Bhagya Ubadrudaha. We have talked about this before. Prayena Alpayusha. Alpayusha means very short span of life. Kalau Asmin Yuge Jena. Kali Yugam has got people with a very short span of life. Then what else? Mandaha. Mandaha means everything, there is no rush. Why you are rushing in spiritual life? This mentality is only in the Kali Yuga. What is the rush? Why can't we wait, say about 65, or after retirement? That means every year government extends your retirement age, you delay the spiritual life also. Government says 70, so after 70 you start your spiritual life. That is mandaha. Slowly, no rush. After retirement, everything after retirement. So, mandaha. Then what is next one? Sumandamadayaha. Sumandamadaya means, already they are slow. That's worse, that's bad enough. More than that, the intelligence also doesn't work. Sumandamadaya. Madhi means intelligence. Sumandamadayaha. That is another misfortune. They can't make decisions in life. Always confused. Always asking questions. What is to be done in this life? And always in a confused state. That is that Sumandamadayaha. Sumandamadayaha means that. Mandaha means slowly. Sumandamadayaha means there is no proper capacity to make right decisions. Intelligent decisions, in other words. In other words, they do not have that good fortune of able to see through things, the short span of life, the miseries of life, and the desire to express to escape from these miseries, none of them has an influence on their decisions. That is what Swandamadayaha. Over and above all these things, what else? Mandavagyaha. There is no luck also. They are very unlucky people, Kali Yuga. People of Kali Yuga are very, very unlucky. So this is the type of people for whom Srimad Bhagavatam is meant for. People in that state. Manda Sumandamadayo Mandavagya Ubadrudaha. So it is keeping these things, Sudha Goswami is saying this, that this happened with Parikshit. What? Parikshit decided to give up everything and go and sit on the Ganga River. And there, what I saw between Shuka Brahmarshi and Parikshit, I had the good fortune to sit and listen to that. And I saw Parikshit leaving this world and going back to the spiritual world. In the presence of Shuka Brahmarshi, how he realized the truth and escaped. And therefore I concluded, Srimad Bhagavatam is the Shastram for the age of Kali. He didn't come to it out of his fancy ideas, nothing like that. It has happened after proper analysis inside that Bhagavatam works. He found out that Bhagavatam works. It does its job. And he saw that it has happened between Shuka Brahmarshi and Parikshit, and that is why he mentions there. When he said that, that is when Shavanagrishi asked this question, these few questions. Which one? Why is that Parikshit gave up his body? Only then he asked this question. Why Parikshit gave up his body like that? Why did Vedavyasa Maharshi write Srimad Bhagavatam? And why did Shuka Brahmarshi, who is already liberated, why did he start speaking Bhagavatam? Start speaking Bhagavatam. And it is these things that is in the next chapter. What is discussed in the next chapter. So, Śrīdarācārya Swāmīji says, Turiye Bhagavadārambham Kāranatvena Varnyade Vyāsasyāl Paridoshastu Tapa Pravachanādibhi. Vedavyāsa Maharshi, after he has executed penances for a long time and heard so many things from so many other rishis, sages, they all discuss each other and they have done many, many good things, but still Vedavyāsa Maharshi was not happy inside. And that has become the cause of writing Srimad Bhagavatam. he mentions that here. Sridhara Swami, in his introduction to this chapter, because every chapter Sridhara Swami summarizes in one or two verses and puts it in the beginning. So this fourth chapter, which we're going to read now, he's saying there that Vedavyasa Maharshi was not happy, basically. He has, because the books he has written, Mahabharatam, Brahma Sutram, Upanishads, and all the other literature, none of them is working for the people of Kali. So he started feeling unhappiness inside. After doing all these things, he didn't do the job what he was expecting that to do. And that is how he was in a confused state when Narada Maharshi came and spoke to him. And all that is caused, that became the cause of his writing Srimad Bhagavatam. That is this fourth chapter. Vyasavacha idibruvanam samstuyam uninam nirgasatrenam vruddhakvalapadisudam bhikhuja shavnagobravil shavnagovacha sudasudamahabhaga vadanomudadamvara kathabhagavadim punyam yadahabhagavanshuga kasmin yuge pravurteyam sthaneva kenehiduna kudasam jodhita krishna kadavansam hidamuni tasya putro mahayogi samadrangdruvikalpaga eganamadirun nidro gudo mudhaiveyate ദൃഷ്ടൃഷിമാൽപജമപ്യനഗ്നം ദേവ്യോഹ്രിയപരിധുർന്നസുദസ്യചിത്രം തദ്വീക്ഷ്യപൃച്ഛതിമനോജഗുസ്തവാസ്തി ശ്രീപുംഭിതാനദസുദസ്സുവിവിക്തദൃഷ്ടേ കഥമാലക്ഷിതപൗരേ സംപ്രാപ്തകുരുചാങ്കരൻ ഉന്മത്തമൂഗജടവൻ വിജരൻഗജസാഹ്വയേ കഥം വാ പാണ്ഡവേയസ്യ രാജർഷേർമുനിനാ സഹ സംവാദസമവുത്താദയത്രേഷാ സാത്വതീശ്വതി സ ഗോദോഹനമാത്രം ഹി ഗൃഹേഷു ഗൃഹമേതിരം അപേക്ഷതേ മഹാഭാഗാതീർത്ഥി കുർവം സദാശ്രമം അഭിമന്യസുതം സുത പ്രാഹുർഭാഗവതോത്തമം തസ്യ ജന്മ മഹാശ്ചര്യം കർമാണി ച ഗൃഹിണി ഗൃണീഹിന സമ്രാട് കസ്യവാ ഹേതോ പാണ്ഡൂനാ മാനവർദ്ധന പ്രായോപവിഷ്ടോ ഗംഗായം അനാദൃത്യാധിരാൻ ശ്രിയം നമന്തി അൽപാദ നികേതമാൽപനം ശിവായ ഹാനീയധനാനി ശത്രുവാ കഥം സവീരാശ്രയം അംഗദുസ്ത്യജാം യുവൈഷതോൽ സ്രഷ്ടുമഹോ സഹാസുഭി ശിവായ ലോകസ്യ ഭവായ ഭൂതയേ യ ഉത്തമ ശ്ലോകപരായണാജന ജീവന്തി ആത്മാർത്ഥമസോ പരാശ്രയം മുമോച നിർവീന്ദ്യ കുല കളേവരം തത്സർവം തസമാജക്ഷ പൃഷ്ടോ യതിഹ കിം ചന മന്യത്വം വിഷയവാചാം സ്നാതമന്യത്ര ഛാന്ദസാൽ ശ്രീസൂത ഉവാച ദ്വാപരെ സമനുപ്രാപ്തെ തൃതീയ യുഗപരേ ജാതപരാശരാദ്യോഗി വാസവ്യം കലയാഹരേ സകലാജിൽ സരസ്വത്യപസ്പൃശ്യ ജലം ശുചി വിവിക്തദേശമാസീനം ഉദിതൈരവിമണ്ഡലെ പരാവരജ്ഞസ്യ കൃഷി കാലേന വ്യക്തരം ഹസ യുഗധർമ്മവിധികരം പ്രാപ്തം ഭുവി യുഗേ യുഗേ ഭൗതികാനാം ജപാവാനം ശക്തിഹ്രാസം ജതൽകൃതം അശ്രദ്ധാനാം നിസത്വം ദുർമേധാനുസിതായുഷ ദുർഭഗാംശിജനാന്വീക്ഷമീർദ്വേന ചക്ഷുഷാ സർവർണാശ്രമാണാം യദധ്യോഹിതം അമോഹദൃക് ചാതുർഹോത്രം കർമ്മശുദ്ധം പ്രജാനാംവീക്ഷ വൈദികം വ്യദദ്ധാധ്യജ്ഞസന്ധത്തെ വേദമേകം ചതുർവിധം ഹൃഗ്യജുസാമഅഥർവാക്യം വേദാശ്ചത്വാരമുദ്ധൃത ഇതിഹാസപുരാണാം ച പഞ്ചമോ വേദമുച്യതേ തത്തിർഗേദ്വര പൈലസാമകോ ജൈമിനി കവി വൈശംവായനമേവേകോ നിഷ്ണാതോ യജുഷാമുദാം അഥർവാംഗിരസോ ആസീ സുബന്ധുർദാരുണോ മുനി ഇതിഹാസപുരാണ പിതാമേം പുരാണാന പിതാമേരോ മഹർഷണ ത ഏത് വിഷയോ വേദം സ്വസ്യസ്തന്ധനേകഥ ശിഷ്യൈ പ്രശിഷ്യൈ തച്ഛിഷ്യേർവേദാസേ ശങ്കിനോഭവൻ ത ഏവ വേദ ദുർമേധർധാര്യന്തേ പുരുഷൈ യഥ ഏവം ചകാര ഭഗവാൻ വ്യാസകൃപണവത്സല സ്ത്രീ ശൂദ്രദ്വിജബന്ധൂനാം ത്രൈന ശുതിഗോചര കർമ്മശ്രേയസി മൂഢാനാം ശ്രേയമേവം ഭവേദിഹ ഇതി ഭാരതവാഖ്യാനം കൃപയാ മുനിനാ കൃതം ഏവം പ്രവർത്തസ്യ സദാ ഭൂതാനാം ശ്രേയസി ദ്വിജ സർവാത്മകേനാപി യഥാ നാദുഷ്യന്ദ്രദയം തഥാ നാദിപ്രസിദ്ധതൃതേ സരസ്വത്യാസ്ഥലേഷു വിതർക്കൻ വിവിക്തസ്തമിതം പ്രവാചധർമ്മവിൽ ഹൃദയഹിമായ ഛന്ദാംസിഗുരവോഗ്നയ മാനിതാ നിർവലീകേന ഗൃഹീതം ചാനുശാസനം ഭാരത വിപദേശന ആന്വയാർത്ഥശ്ച ദർശിത ദൃശ്യതേ യത്ര ധർമാദി ശ്രീ ശൂദ്രാദി വിരപ്പിത അഥാഭിപ്രമേന്ദ്യോ ആത്മാചയോത്മനാ വിഭോ അസമ്പന്ന വിവാഭാദി ബ്രഹ്മവർച്ചസ്യ സത്വ കിം വാ ഭാഗവത ധർമ്മ ന പ്രായേണ നിരൂപിത പ്രിയ പരമഹംസാരാബ്ദാവേവ ഹ്യച്യുത പ്രിയ തസ്യൈവം ഹിലമാത്മാനം മന്യമാനസഗിധ്യത കൃഷ്ണസാരദോഭ്യാഗാദാശ്രമം പ്രാകുദാഹൃതം തമഭിജ്ഞായ സഹസാ പ്രതിധ്വായാഗതം മുനി പൂജയാവാസമിതിവൽ നാരദം സുരപൂജിതം ഇതി ശ്രീമദ്ഭാഗവതേ മഹാപുരാണേ പ്രഥമസ്കന്ധേ നൈമിഷിയോപാഖ്യാനേ ചതുർത്ഥോധ്യായ സർവത്ര ഗോവിന്ദനാമ സങ്കീർത്തനം ഗോവിന്ദ ഗോവിന്ദ. സോ ദാറ്റ് ഈസ് ദി എൻഡ് ഓഫ് ദ ഫോർത്ത് ചാപ്റ്റർ ആൻഡ് വിൽ കണ്ടിന്യൂ വിത്ത് ഇറ്റ് ടുമാറോ. ഓൾ ഗ്ലോറി ശ്രീ ശ്രീ പ്രഭുപാദ്.